pygmy. Because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual. But now I know why I have always lost women to guys like you. I mean,
it's not just the uniform. It's the stories that you tell. So much fun and imagination. Lee Harvey, you are a madman. When you stole that cow, and your friend tried to make it with the cow, I want to party with you, cowboy. The two of us together, forget it. I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to volunteer my leadership to this platoon. An army without leaders is like a foot without a big toe. And Sergeant Hulka isn't always going to be there to be that big toe for us. I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy and big toe, Sergeant Hulka.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find us.
I was so afraid I wasn't going to make this flight, so I sent David here to come and pick up my boarding pass. But now David has to go.
Thank you.
Bye.
I am Corbin Dallas.
And this is?
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Yeah.
Multipass.
Lila, Multipass. She knows it's Multipass. Lilu Dallas, my wife. We're newlyweds.
Just met. Multipass. You know how it is. Bump into each other, sparks happen. Yeah, she knows it's a multi-pass.
Yeah, anyway, we're in love.
Now the swing time, crying for justice. Swing time, take no prisoner. Swing time, bring on the breaker. Swing time, knock in trouble out.
I agree with Ron, Leslie. It's like Maz once said, hold on to your friends. Morrissey, the Smiths, you don't know meat is murder? It's one of the best songs ever written about industrialized beef consumption.
Okay, Eagleton, Ron, I think it might be time for you to go.
Just turns himself into some kind of a monster. Four mechanical arms welded right onto his body. Guy named Otto Octavius winds up with eight limbs. What are the odds? Hoffman! Yeah. What are we going to call this guy?
Dr. Octopus.
That's crap.
Science Squid?
Crap.
Dr. Strange.
That's pretty good. But it's taken. Wait, I got it. Dr. Octopus.
I like it.
Of course you do. Dr. Octopus. New villain in town, Doc Ock.
Genius.
What, are you looking for a raise? Get out.
You are listening to Radio Cosmos, and it is now 5 p.m. Time to join Ruby Rod and Corbin Dallas, the lucky winner of the Gemini Croquette Contest. Coming at you live from Frosten.
Paddock!
Boom! Woohoo! Baby! Boom goes a dynamite! Hey, everybody!
This is the Big Bopper speaking.
Hello, baby! I got no money, honey!
Oh, you know what I like!
Hey, everybody. It's me, the J-Strom. Welcome to Entertainment Landfill here in Main Street of Mulberry. I'm here to talk to you about film, television, and pop culture. Oh, I said that right. Film, television, pop culture.
You are?
Yeah.
What we're talking about here? I'm on the wrong show.
With, to my left, Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey.
Steven's back.
Oh, my God. What's happening?
Holy crap, Steven's back. He's alive.
Where's he been?
Hello, Bill.
Hello,
with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing,
That's
Bill?
It's me. Hello, hello,
hello. Hey, lady. I don't know
Jerry
what I'm talking
Lewis.
About. Wow. All right, got the EKG hooked up to Steven. Make sure he's okay.
Don't fall asleep,
Steven.
That's
it's
happened
so...
in years.
It's so
I
good
know.
To have
How
here,
about
Steven?
That CPAP?
It's awesome.
Yeah, what is that like, guys?
It's miserable, but it works.
It's changed your life, hasn't it, Steven?
Yes. Yeah, I haven't dozed off like that in, 2 years
Since
now?
You started.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah.
Excellent. And, Steven, I've missed you. You have missed several shows. We were interviewing people to replace you, but you're back.
How dare you?
You missed all of the helicopter crashes?
Yeah, all of them.
All of
them. That's going back how many years? What's that reference?
Eight,
almost 10 years?
10 years.
Oh, we like to languish time. In obscurity. It makes us hip.
Heck yeah. Well, we're back, guys, after a couple weeks. We did do a lunchtime show. That was fun, Bill.
It was. I went back and listened to it, and I was picking up on all the music. Even Noel Meller said he was listening, and he heard Gonna Fly Now, and I didn't even know that was in the one-hour block there.
Yeah. It's so funny hearing that. It was very nostalgic doing that.
It was.
With basically playing background music that I made in, 2006 or 7 or something.
And we've said it before, that intro you made for that lunchtime show that's one of my favorites. It is my favorite.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
The whole, what was that show with, was it Bob Denver that was in that?
Yeah, the Far Out Space Nuts.
Yes!
I said lunch, not launch. Yes. And then it has Crispin Glover saying, I'm making my lunch! And so, It's just when I hear that lunchtime intro, I go, nailed it!
And then the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, what is that?
Let's see, there's a song by Helmet called Meantime.
Yeah, that's the song.
Then I got Hey You Guys from Electric Company, and then some of that song from Office Space. Oh, and of course, the guy with the extreme poppers and extreme fajitas or whatever. But
yeah, that Hey You Guys reminds me of a song, or actually a voice, I'm sorry, from years ago. It was a show called The Oblongs. Mm-hmm. And there was this one, really short, fat, ugly girl on it that she had that voice. And, hey, you guys!
It's not very nice, but okay.
Hey, no, seriously. The Oblongs was a show all about people that lived below the rich people. And all the people that lived below the rich people were mutated.
Oh, and so they're oblong-like bodies or faces or something? Oh.
Yes,
the main character didn't have any arms or legs. He hopped around.
Yes!
It was voiced by Will Ferrell.
I loved that show. That was I never
too.
Missed it. It was hilarious.
Sweet. Yeah. Hey, you guys. I love the original Electric Company because it had Spider-Man on it.
Yeah.
And he didn't talk or anything. He was a mute Spider-Man. But I remember he'd shoot a web and it looked really bad. Like they just threw a net on somebody. And they would go, ksh, wah, wah, wah. And all of a sudden they'd have a rope net on them, and that was supposed to be the webbing. But as a little kid, I'm like, awesome! I think that's probably the first time I knew who Spider-Man was from the Electric Company.
Introduced you to the comics.
Yeah, and I was telling Heather this recently, that I had this idea that I was going to make my own cartoon. And I'm 5 or something. I have no idea how it... So what I'm doing is I've got pictures of Spider-Man. I don't know if it was from a comic or it's probably a newspaper or something.
Probably.
And I had a candle and I was trying to make it like a projector of the candle behind newsprint. And my mom was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm trying to project this on the wall. You know, it's just like,
It's okay. My light board.
Yeah, she put the kibosh on that really quick. But
well, you were going old school. That's yeah. Pioneer tracing.
I'll dangle this newspaper
projection.
In front of fire. This should work. No, that won't be a disaster at all, Jason.
You won't burn the house down.
Don't you know how many lumens is behind this one candle?
I was trying to make my own Spider-Man movie on the wall, so, you know.
You were an innovator.
You were a home theater nut from the beginning.
Yeah, I was trying to have my own home theater. Yeah, I just didn't understand how technology works.
You were close. You know, there was a little ingenuity there.
Did you like that song in the intro? That's totally. It sounds like a faux like Sammy Hagar or
yeah.
something.
I completely missed the intro. I messaged you that I had to go take a quick pee, and of course I let the dogs out too, and you know I'm yelling, come. But the most disconcerting thing is as I stepped outside backwards and it's been raining.
Piss, Arnold.
And I felt this squish under my heel.
Ah.
And I don't have any shoes on. And it was wet. And I looked down and I stepped on a toad. And all its innards went out its mouth. So now I have this dead, exploded
Holy
toad on my
shit.
Porch.
Shit!
I know.
Gross!
I'm sorry, but... Yeah,
oh my god!
I killed a toad,
dude.
I don't know what's
frog
wrong with
murder.
Me lately. I'm killing toads. I ran over a raccoon yesterday. I ran over a squirrel the day before. I'm nature's death bringer.
Oh my god!
I know, man. I'm just
the
death surrounds
stone cold
me.
Killer.
You're murdering things. Why?
You better watch out, guys. And that's not a direct threat. It's just I am death.
All the animals better watch out in your area.
You don't know meat is murder. It's one of the
I
songs
I've
written
death.
About industrialized beef consumption.
Wow, that's crazy. But what I played is the theme to Spider-Man versus Kingpin for the Sega CD.
God, that was classic.
It's awesome, like, hair metal type of thing. I don't know, it's kind of like a Sammy Hagar-ish
yeah.
kind of
yeah.
like metal thing.
And it's when it's a theme, it's a true theme because it references the game.
Yeah, and it's called Swing Time because, you
Swing
know,
time.
The Spidey swinging. And I remember, like, that song played continuously and would start over on the menu screen. And I can vividly remember, like... preparing to play it and just getting distracted something, and I'm just like, Jesus, turn that song off. Like, it just keeps going and going.
It starts off wonderful, like the first time you play, like, oh, this song freaking rocks. I'm so ready for Swing Time. By the 100th repeat, it's like, screw you, Swing Time.
Yeah, it's enough with the song, damn it. It's awesome.
But that was such a great era for gaming because the Sega CD, it was like the first time we had true music. It wasn't chiptune.
Yeah.
It was full-on music.
And it had stereo outputs.
Stereo.
So
because it's
like,
unnatural.
Yeah, I felt like, dude, this is badass, man. I got the high-tech system here, yo. But
what was the game... Sewer shark.
Sewer shark.
Oh, yeah. Love
Shoot
sewer shark.
Shoot the tubes, dog meat.
Yeah, good old sewer shark.
Every time I come across construction where you have to go through two areas, like when they limit the lane, and they have the what do you call those, blockades? I don't know what the hell they are. On the sides of the road, you have to go right through the middle of them. I always go, shoot the tubes.
like recharge station coming up.
that was the worst game.
That was the only game I owned on the Sega CD.
It was the pack-in game.
Yeah, that's a game that came with it. I never bought any games. I just rented them from Blockbuster. So that was the only game I owned.
So many of those games that I was just like, honestly, I never understood why they. I think the only Sega CD game that actually took advantage of a light gun was, there were two. There was Lethal Enforcers and Snatcher.
I love Lethal Enforcers. Remember, there was something called Ground Zero, Texas.
Yeah, Ground Zero, that's what I was leading into. That. Thank you for the
that
segue.
Was
Perfect. It didn't use a light gun.
Yeah, and it was hard to move the cursor fast enough.
I hated that.
1,000,000 pounds of tube steak.
Yeah, that was so goddamn annoying. But I remember I basically could play Sewer Shark. I would be like, oh, let me get to the end of Sewer Shark real quick. Start the game. I could get to the end of it because I played it over and over and over again where I could just kill some time by getting to the end of
Sewer Shark. I never beat it. I never, really? Ever beat it. Never.
Wow.
I would always screw up and miss one of the exits, like the arrow exits. And
oh, yeah. If you missed a recharge station, you were screwed.
Yeah. I think I can't even remember the furthest I've ever got in it, but I just know I never got to the city, the solar city or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I did. You can see the ending on YouTube now. That's great.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, it's funny. I was just listening to the Indoor Kids, and they had Jason Ritter on, and he was talking about how all the games he never beat as a kid, he goes on YouTube and watches the endings, like Metroid, because, you know, and he knows the endings, but he'll watch the entire playthroughs and, like, live vicariously through the playthroughs on YouTube.
I've totally done that in games I remember. It's so cool. YouTube is awesome for those things. It's like time travel.
It is time travel because you got the commercials from the 80s. You have the game playthroughs. Yeah, it's wonderful.
And that's what I remember about the Sega CD. Like on the weekends, Steve and I would go to Blockbuster and I would find a game like Night Trap.
Yeah.
And do you remember Night Trap? The game was bugged where you couldn't see the ending. It would just skip to the end credits. And we were like, what the hell, man? And then I found out later on that the game was bugged, where it was jacked up.
Really? I didn't know that. Night Trap's one of those games that I missed the original. All I remember is I didn't read the magazines or anything. I had three sisters, so I very rarely got anything gaming-oriented that I didn't beg for. I was behind the curve.
Yeah.
And I remember Night Trap because of the big controversy about, like, the pornographic or you're killing so girls stupid. And all that.
So
it
tame.
Wasn't pornographic. It was
They tried to make it seem that way.
Yeah, all I remember is Corey Haim. And
yeah,
I have it for the 32X. I have the 32X CD version.
And that was the one with Dana Plato, right?
Dana Plato was in Night Trap. Corey Haim was in Dead Switch. Is that what it's called?
Oh, Corey Haim was Dead Switch. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Here's the funniest part that I remember of Sewer Shark, though. There's a part where you get halfway through the game and the guy's like, we upgraded the hog. I can't remember the name of the ship you were in. But he goes, we upgraded to a new cannon on the front. It was like a Gatling gun. He goes, try it out. And I remember just sitting there watching. And there's a cursor, and I was like, oh, shit, fumbling for the controller. And then all of a sudden it cuts off, and he goes, well, I could see you're not serious about this. End credits. And I was like, wait, no! There's no saves in the game. It's a friggin' disc. You gotta, like, just start over. And it went to end credits because I didn't fire the gun fast enough, Bill.
Oh.
How shitty is that?
There was one game in particular that I loved for the Sega CD, because it had the best theme song, and it was like this anime that had this like mohawked orange haired guy on the cover, and it was just a car.
Oh, dude, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about something Avenger. Rogue
yeah,
Avenger.
It was Avenger something.
Let's see. Sega CD, is it Road Avenger?
Yes, it's Road Avenger.
Oh, yes, sweet.
It had the most kick-ass introduction.
Let's listen to the intro music, because I rented this, and it was hard as hell eventually.
Oh, it was another one of those games I owned, but I never beat, but I would...
Enough
I would
with
listen the
intro
to the opening.
Stuff. I just want to hear the music.
Game creative staff. Wolf Team.
I don't know how creative that game was.
Yeah, here's the intro. And, dude, it looks... I mean, it gets all pixelated and digitized, but it's like you're playing Rogue Warrior the game or something.
Yeah.
It's like Speed Racer, post-apocalyptic Speed Racer. And it tells a story. He basically just got married. Bugs Bill with his wife. those Dragon Slayer type of games, you know? Basically, would you say it's a QuickTime event game?
Yeah, that's all it is a QuickTime event. Because you had to, like, press to the left, press to the right.
There was another one. It was called, like, Cobra Command with a helicopter.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I don't remember that.
I would scoop those games up at Blockbuster, and they'd be so much fun, but it was trial and error. You would go, okay, I got to hit left or right, and you'd die and keep doing it again until you got the right move.
That was the worst thing about growing up in, like, a country, rural kind of area, is I had to buy the games if I was going to be able to play them. Like, we would go into the city, go to the mall, and then I would camp out at Babbage's or
Babbage's.
Electronics Boutique or Toys R Us, and my mom and sisters would all go do their thing, and I would just sit there and stare at the stuff. And then when they were done, they would come back. And my thing was I wouldn't leave. They would get so annoyed, they wanted to go home so bad, that eventually my mom would give in and buy what I wanted. That's how I got the Game Gear. That's how I got, you know, most of anything I wanted was I just had to basically do a sit-in. You know, that's the only way that I could play games because there was no place to rent them.
Right.
So I had to convince somebody to pay $50 and then I'd get a game and I would hate the game. Like, I've talked about hating Gotcha for the NES.
Yeah, like,
or,
this thing sucks.
Yeah, and you're screwed. Then they have to see you playing it, or
you're going to get yelled at.
Yeah, because next time they're like, well, I got you that other game. You never played it.
Yeah, so you guys were lucky in being in a city area, because I was screwed.
Yeah,
I didn't get
games.
To the
Jason
the Blockbuster
to
renting
it back
for a while.
Ungodly amount in late charges.
Yeah, that's what. 2 days is not enough to play a video game. I think that's what it was back then, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
I would keep
you could
it.
Do it, what, three or.
Maybe it was three games.
3 to 5 days.
3 days.
Wow. How much you paid.
But I would, like, go there to rent a new game, and it'd be like $20 in late charges.
Dude, I can't even tell you. In my teen years, my very irresponsible teen years, when it was just me and my dad, I would ride my bike to the VHS, you know, the rental store, and I would get something, and my dad wouldn't know it, you know, and I would just put it in a drawer, and after a while, they would start calling the house, and be like, you have this, can you please return it, and my dad would go to return it, and it was like $50, $60 late fees.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I was awful. Because I was so lazy that I would go there because I wanted something. I'd pick it up, and then I'd never ride my bike back. And because I was scared or embarrassed that I had it for so long, I just would throw it in a drawer.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
Jason had, like, multiple accounts. If he had late charges at one, we'd go to another
you
Blockbuster.
You savvy son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, two different Blockbusters, yeah. That was in the later days.
Because they weren't connected yet. There was no networking.
Yeah, they got savvy later on, I believe. Like, well, the one on Alta Mesa, you got to go pay it there. And it's like,
holy
shit is this? Well, hey, Bill, real quick, I wanted to talk about, like, there were some cancellations. And I wanted to say farewell to Community, because I love that show.
That's really a... You know, This season was really kind of its final glory in a way.
Yeah.
I almost felt like Harmon knew that it was coming, so they went all out.
Well, he was hopeful. Like, season four, he got fired after season three. Different showrunner came in for season four. It was awful. I watched it, and I was just like, it's okay. But really, when it was over, I was like, yeah, that was awful. But then season five, they hired him back. Which never happens when you fire a show writer. And
I think it was Joel McHale. Gillian Jacobs was on the wrap-up show on Howard 100. And she said that it was Joel McHale that went to NBC and said, he's the heart of the show. You have to hire him back.
And it was fantastic. Last season was fantastic. They did the G.I. Jeff episode.
That was incredible.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was a love letter to G.I. Joe. It was great. And I'm hoping somebody else picks it up, like TBS or something, like they did Cougar Town. I don't know. It may be dead in the water, but it feels like, come on.
I have a feeling that they'll all probably go their separate ways. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, Harmon has Rick and Morty now, and he's always working on something. And
yeah.
I don't know. I have a feeling this is it. I mean, it would be great if somebody picked it up, but
I mean, I don't really see that happening. 3.8 million viewers on NBC, like that kind of number on TBS is fantastic. So
yeah,
I'm
sure.
Just saying, some people are like, it should go straight to Netflix. Yeah, that would be cool. I don't know if it will, but if it's gone 5 seasons, there's 5 seasons of it on Hulu, which is cool. Now
there's enough of a following that if somebody wanted to pick it up, they could.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a good season, and I'm glad it went out on a high note. Of course, you know, we already know that Almost Human got canceled.
Yeah.
We expected it.
We knew it, yeah.
It was kind of the thing where they needed to work out the kinks, and I really thought it could have gotten a lot better for season two. But
plus, they did the out-of-sequencing.
Yeah, that's another thing. Another show on Fox that Heather and I loved, Enlisted, this sitcom, really funny show, aired it out of order. It was so confusing. One episode, a character already had a girlfriend and that they hadn't introduced, and then the next episode he meets her for the first time. It was so confusing, and they canceled that. And a really silly show on CW, The Tomorrow People. I watched that. I love that show. And they just aired the season finale this week, canceled. But holy shit, dude. 1.9 million viewers and a 0.7 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic.
Ow!
0.7?
when you're dealing with the 0 points, that's yeah,
well,
rough.
Everything on CW.
What is that? What is 0.7? Is that 700,000?
Yeah, it's basically 700,000. Star-crossed 0.4.
Ooh, poor Julie Taylor.
Yeah, no wonder that got canceled. But I'm bummed that.
Oh, Enlisted had David Keith.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I even had clips on the show with him. He was fantastic on that show. He played their captain.
I always liked him.
I was just about to wrap my lips around a juicy, hot piece of meat.
They're talking about a sausage fest, and he's like, sausage fest. That sounds awesome. They're like, no, you don't know what a sausage fest is. He goes, yes, I do. It's where you lay out hundreds of different kinds of meat. And they're like, that's not what it is. Okay, yes, that's what it is. They just let him believe it.
I love Keith David.
He's great. Now, Believe, that show on NBC, that didn't stick
around.
Man,
that had promise before it aired, and then after it aired, it was like, man, this is really rough.
Yeah, it honestly, when you watch it, I felt like I was watching something where execs were like, here's our notes. We want you to change this. And it was
mom was over one night, and that's a Friday night show, right? Is that a
Sunday night.
Sunday night. Okay. I knew it was a weekend. And she goes, this reminds me of that show with Kiefer Sutherland I love.
Yes.
And I was like, what's that? And she goes, Hands. And I was like, touch.
Cuddle.
Like, I have watched Touch maybe like 4 times, and what I have no idea. Was it like Hands?
Well, it Kiefer Sutherland had a gifted child.
Okay.
And in Believe, it's a man with his gifted child. Well, the difference in that, though, is that in Believe, it was his daughter, and he had no idea it was his daughter.
Correct, yeah.
And I thought it was likable.
Brought them together.
I thought it was likable, but I honestly could have told you it wasn't going to last long just by watching it. There wasn't enough there.
I watched the first 2 episodes, I think.
I watched, like, the first 4 or 5 and lost interest, but, I mean, it wasn't a bad show. It just was nothing great. Hannibal was renewed, Bill. Season 3 of Hannibal.
That really honestly surprised me. Like, I'm always kind of on the edge.
Yeah,
like, I love Hannibal, and Hannibal is one of those shows that just pushes the envelope. I don't think – the biggest benefit that Hannibal has is I don't think there's anybody at NBC that doesn't love it. Because it just – they know that show is destined for awards – So they're just very hands-off. Because I'm always shocked by what they get away with. In this season...
When I'm watching that show... Oh, go ahead.
This season... No, I just wanted to say that this season in particular has been incredibly gruesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, and really heady. They're going to some places where it's like it's an unreliable lens. Like, you don't know really what's real and what isn't at this point.
Unreliable storyteller.
It's an unreliable narration, but it's just very unsettling for a network television show.
I honestly believe it's very artistic, too.
It's incredibly artistic.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's disturbing, but man, there's some shots in that. It's just incredible that that's on television. And I think a lot of people, I mean, when I remember first reading Hannibal TV show, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Basically, I thought it would be what The Following is on Fox.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like quality.
And I don't get why people are so obsessive about The Following. I think that I've watched maybe 5 episodes of that, and it's awful.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that show anymore. It's just, you know, junk to watch every week, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. It's just why have such a... There's something on television that is amazing. And I don't get why people are so, like, there's such an aversion to watching Hannibal.
You know, one day somebody's going to watch it on, they're going to see it. Either on Netflix or Amazon, or it's going to be syndicated, and people go, man, why wasn't I watching this? It'll be something that people will eventually catch on to, I think.
I'm just really excited for the season finale, and then next season is Manhunter or Red Dragon. I can't wait to see who they cast as Francis Dolarhyde.
Well, I doubt it'll be... You know, I honestly think that they'll trick it up a lot. You know what I mean?
Well, they have been. They've been moving characters all around from the books.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Mason and Margot Verger and all that stuff. But I think they're going to stick with the basic storytelling structure.
That would be cool. But I like how they kind of trick things up also. It's
I know
creative.
They don't own the rights to Clarice Starling.
Clarice.
Yeah,
no, they don't. Just
we'll
to name her something
goes.
Else.
Well, they might end up using the one-arm girl from the movie that Macaulay Culkin gets stung by bees. What the
my
hell's
girl.
Her name?
Yeah, my girl.
My girl, yeah. What's that girl's name?
Anna Chlumsky.
Anna Chlumsky. Good.
It's Miriam. Miriam is her name in the show, though.
Yeah, they could do that.
Another I think they're going to use her as Clarice, yeah.
They could do... Basically, do you remember on Justified when they had Karen Sisko on the show? But they couldn't use her name because they didn't have the rights. So they called her something else, and he goes, since when are you going by that name? And she goes, I got a divorce, or something like that. And that's how they explain it, without saying it.
That's
and
cool.
They could do something like that, like just call her something else. I don't know. We would all know who she was and kind of like wink, like I know who that is, but they don't say it. But hey, we've got a lot of voicemail, and I need to get to it, guys, okay?
Okay.
So let's check this out. Our first voicemail is from Henley. Do you guys remember Henley?
No.
I remember the name.
I think we got a voicemail from him in 2009 or something.
Wow.
All right, let's check it out.
Man, my words flow forth with or without line of land, mile after mile with my trusty steed at hand, my car phone.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry, this is Henley from Calgary, Alberta. I haven't talked to you guys in a long, long time, and I just thought I'd send in a voicemail and ask, why do you guys not talk about The Blacklist? Now, I've been watching this show recommended to me by a friend, and I think it is smoking good. Good acting, great story. It almost replaces Fringe in a lot of ways. It's episodic. A great backbone of a storyline that flows through. And I was just curious, why are you guys not talking about The Blacklist? Are you watching it? Yes, do you guys get it down there in the United States of America, or is it only played in Canada? Pretty sure it's down there too. Anyways,
it's imported.
enjoy your show, guys. I want to encourage you to keep up the good work.
Oh, thank
you. And I don't really have much more to say because I have to get back to dealing with my wonderful children. So I'll talk to you guys later, and I'll be probably listening to your podcast in my free time on the bus going to work and coming home, like I always do. But the good thing is, at least I can always call you whenever I want from my car phone.
Okay. Well, thank you, Henley. What song was that, by the way?
I don't know. Why don't you Shazam it?
I watch the Blacklist every week. It's one of those, Heather and I watch it the night it comes on. We don't, like, wait a day. And we enjoy it. It's I wouldn't bring up Fringe in the same sentence, but I think that...
very well written.
Yeah,
well, it's... Very, I like the acting.
It's a, yes, it's a good show.
Good show.
I mean, I wouldn't
it's
say...
It's tough. Sorry.
I'm saying that when he brought up Fringe, it's nowhere near as cool as Fringe. Come on. But it's an entertaining show. That's all I'm saying.
I started watching it. But that was months ago. And, you know, I'm doing school again, and I just don't have the time that I used to. So I'm kind of dedicating myself to certain things. And then I got – you started watching the Clone Wars, and then I became obsessed with the Clone Wars, and I binge-watched that entire thing, and I kind of fell to the wayside with the Blacklist. But I'm like five episodes in, and I think it's really fun. It's got this kind of dark, smirk, self-knowing quality to it.
It's a fun show.
But I'm only – you know, I'm nowhere near deep enough to say that I think it's amazing or anything.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I honestly don't think it's amazing, but I think it's fun and entertaining. And sometimes I'll say to Heather, I go, that made no sense. Why did this, why did he do this? Or how did they find those, that information so easily? And she's just like, it's just a show. What? And I go, usually I'm like that. I'm the guy who's like, it's just a show. But I'm like, wait a second, where did they find that information? And I'm just like, a little too easy there. But yeah, it's a fun show. But okay, if you're going to compare it on the level of entertaining, like Fringe, I'm sorry, no. Just not.
Well, Fringe, we became attached to those characters.
Five
they became like family.
And that's another thing. Like, we're going to talk about 24 soon, but I got giddy watching it, even though it's been gone a long time, and it got to the point where it just was ridiculous. There were always like some really good entertaining episodes, but there was so much filler that it would tire you out. But just seeing the 24 and the sound of the counter, ding. I was just like, I got excited and nostalgic, you know?
The following happens from 11:06 to 12 o'clock.
Yeah, I got all nostalgic because we used to cover that shit every week on the show, you know?
Yeah.
It was cool. And I told Bill, I go, all they need to do is bring back Lost in Smallville. All right, Smallville.
You think we time-traveled?
Somebody save me. Oh, I miss it so much. All right, we have another voicemail. This one, Adam. Let's check out Adam from the Bay Area.
The licensed contractor.
Adam from the Bay Area here.
Oh, yeah.
Just wrapping up the lunchtime show.
Okay, so wait. Stop it. Stop it, Foggy. Congratulations to you, Adam. Licensed contractor. That's pretty awesome. I saw him post it on Facebook. So.
Yeah, that made me smile. He was grinning and with his diploma certificate thing, and yeah, that was wonderful.
That is really cool. I wish he lived here, because, you know, I'd totally be like, hey,
use his services every day.
hasn't been working for a while. I was wondering if you'd take a look at it. Sure. You know, it's just like, God, how long am I going to be here?
You know, at a discount.
Yeah.
You know, the Mulberry discount.
Mulberry family
discount.
You're
not going to charge me anything, are you? I thought we were friends. What?
The historical library needs finished. I'm down here, and it's completely unfinished basement. It needs finished.
You'll get the Christmas special for free.
Yeah.
All right, Adam!
Mulberry Boys, Adam from the Bay Area here. Just wrapping up the lunchtime show. And it's so good. It's really, really, really good.
Oh,
and I love the loose format. And you guys were thoroughly entertaining the entire time. I enjoyed the Star Wars talk. I enjoyed the writing talk. I enjoyed the Captain America talk. I enjoyed all of it, man. It was really, really good. And
thank you,
I would
sir.
Encourage you guys to, you know, since it's been, it seems like the shows are fewer and far between these days, just, you know, I'm totally, as a listener and as a huge fan, I'm completely fine with this loose format, you know, I mean, because the show you guys put out on, you know, the regular ETL podcast, a lot of prep work goes into that bad boy, you know, but this one seems to be a little bit more freeform.
Yes, Bill!
And less prep work. And with Jason talking about doing these Mulberry Mystery Boys books, and even Bill talking about his writing, it's like, shoot, man, spend that time writing and getting something going, you know what I mean? Like, who knows what might happen with doing that. You never know where things may end up and how things may come off, you know? So it's just one more cool creative outlet also. So, I mean, I'm not trying to tell you guys what to do, but as a fan, I'm saying if you guys
do
this less prep show, free form, you know, just kind of loose formatted show, I'm cool with that. Because I'd rather have you guys do, let's say, two or three of those shows a month, and not do the regular podcast, then have one show a month and the regular podcast. If that makes sense, you know, because I just love to hear you guys chat, and it's always entertaining.
No, I understand.
And it'd be cool if we can get, you know, PCZ on there, you know, too. But I know he's too busy running Cat 5E or Cat 6 cables in hospitals. So anyways, guys, I just wanted to give you guys the encouragement that said I wanted to let you know I really enjoyed the show, per usual. And keep up the good work, y'alls. And I can't wait to hear these awesome writing projects of your guys's. So anyways, all right, talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye.
Adam! Oh, my God. People, stop leaving voicemails while driving. It's so dangerous.
Cell phones have dial tones?
Yeah, I guess they do. Thank you, Adam. I can understand what you're saying. Like, instead of, like, if we don't do a show, it's not because I don't want to just work on it. It's because other things are happening. I may say that. What's hard to do is when we don't do a show for a month and then getting into making myself work on it, because your work ethic falls apart, you know. This week I was very productive. I prepared the intro and made the break yesterday, so I made it easier on myself today. And I enjoy doing free-flowing shows, or like the lunchtime show, but also I like structure. It's just something that I don't know. It's the kind of show I want to listen to is one where there's structure to it. I like free-flowing talking shows like we did the lunchtime show, but I think I'm more apt to do like, okay, let's do this kind of a thing. I don't know why. It's just in me that I need to do that. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's deep inside you.
Yes. Now, do you guys remember we got a voicemail from a guy named Chayo or Cheo a while back?
Chachi?
Sounds familiar.
Cheo. He left a voicemail. It was like months and months ago. He sent this other voicemail. I guess...
Is it strange?
Well, he was a fan of our show when he sent the first voicemail, but now it doesn't sound like he is. So.
Oh, he's not a fan?
Let's check this out.
So apparently you only want positive feedback. Well, I think I'm over your show. It's pretentious. It's hypocritical. But most importantly, it's not funny anymore.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Another dial tone there.
Is that a callback to the
yes.
The Jehovah's Witness?
He must have been listening to an old show and was entertained by it, so he did his own. Because remember, there is the... let's see if I find it.
Apparently, guys, only want positive feedback. So you probably don't really care to hear what this has to say, but I think I'm over your show. It's pretentious. it's hypocritical, and worst of all, it's not funny anymore. So, there's feedback for you guys.
Oh, thanks. Well, he didn't blow his brains out at the end of that. I like Cheo's better.
Yeah. So apparently you only want positive feedback. Well, I think I'm over your show. It's pretentious. It's hypocritical. But most importantly, it's not funny anymore.
I have a task for Cheo. I want him to read the script that Arnold Schwarzenegger gives the guy in True Lies, so that he can go and...
Do it slowly.
Yes.
Do it slow.
He does have that kind of voice. That's all I can think about when I hear his voice.
Yeah, he has a smooth voice, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you for that, Cheo. That's hilarious. When I first heard that, I just started cracking up. All right, we have another voicemail. This one from Hannah. Hey, Hannah,
Hello.
Let's check it out.
Hi guys, it's Hannah here. Just sending a quick voicemail to say I hope you guys have a great show. Looking forward to listening to it as always. Haven't been watching anything much of note recently, although I did see Captain America 2, and I have to say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just getting better and better and better. I think if you're not watching it, you absolutely should be.
Yeah.
Hope you're well, and I'll no doubt send another voicemail soon. Bye.
Thank you, Hannah. I agree. I've been watching Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since the beginning. I never stopped watching. I've been watching it every week.
I just binged-watched the last 5 episodes.
Sweet.
Wow.
And you know what really gave it some more energy was Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
With what happens with S.H.I.E.L.D. and that affected
Combining
the show, and it was so cool seeing how everything got screwed in the movie with S.H.I.E.L.D., and you see how in the show it totally, you're just waiting for some Hydra stuff to happen, and when it does, it's awesome. So they did a really good job of connecting the storylines there, Bill, which is really cool.
I'll give it another chance. I'll check it out. After I watched Captain America, I was like, I'll have to go back and watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I just never bothered.
What I like about it is it's fun, and they've got Bill Paxton on there now.
Yeah, that one cracked me up.
He's great,
yes.
Bill Paxton. You got to love Bill Paxton, or Hudson from Aliens is what I call
him.
Game over, man.
That wasn't funny, man.
Okay, we have another voicemail.
I got a small dick. It's pathetic.
Oh, wait. Now you're jumping to True Lies.
My head.
Oh, God. I love True Lies also.
I got a little dick. It's pathetic.
Bill Paxton is a genius. He really is.
He's an underappreciated genius.
There's one movie that it creeped the shit out of me, though, with him.
Oh, the one he did with Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, Frailty. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good movie, but man, it Fs with you, doesn't it?
You know what? That almost seems like a precursor to Supernatural, kind of like the father that thinks he's a demon hunter or something.
Oh, I haven't seen... I've never watched any of
Supernatural. I just started watching Supernatural, like the first couple episodes, and I'm like, hey, why didn't we watch this? This is really kind of fun.
I know. Like I was telling you, we should have been watching that instead of Smallville.
Yeah, really, because it's basically two brothers... the whole setup in the first episode is there's a baby, a little brother, and the father and the mother goes into a room to check on the baby, and the mother's stuck to the ceiling, like engulfed in fire, and like a demon kills her, and then the brothers and the father spend their entire life trying to find this demon that killed the mother. So it's basically like the Brothers Grimm in a way, but it's a road trip mixed with demon hunting.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's really,
a
fun show.
It's all on Netflix, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Oh, you told me about this.
Netflix, the first season, none of the music is original. It's all pod safe crap. And music is a huge part of this show. I had to end up buying the first season on Blu-ray to get any of the real music.
Oh.
I think maybe Amazon, but that's like $2 an episode, and no one wants to pay that.
Yeah. Well, I could just... What about the second season? Is that okay?
Yeah, I believe it changes, yeah.
Okay. If I could get through the first season, I'll just ignore it.
But yeah, it's fun.
Let's get it on. You know it.
I mean, we used to make fun of it because it was that really arrogant, cocky segue after Smallville.
All we made fun of was after Smallville, Supernatural came on. He's like, yo, Jared Padalecki, Supernatural's next. And what's the other guy's name?
Jensen Ackles.
Sup, dog? This is Jensen Ackles. You know, we would just do that. I never watched the show.
But kiss my ass. Watch my show. I don't care.
Yeah, watch the show if you want. I don't really give a shit. You know, just like... But now when I hear that, they do that still with the CW. Like, hey, this is Johnny Smith with the 100. Check this out or whatever. I don't know. All right, we have another voicemail, Bill. This one from Adam Sexton. Related to Charlie Sexton?
Possibly.
All right, let's check this out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton. I hope everyone has had a good week. I meant to send a voicemail for any of the previous three episodes, but either I forgot or missed the Facebook notice for an episode recording in time to do so. I hope Steven is doing okay, and hopefully he's made it for tonight's episode. Honestly, I do miss the pop culture zealot.
He passed away.
I really enjoyed the lunchtime special, and it was fun to be in the live chat. It even reminded me of a recording that I was in the chat room for last year. And I think it was an episode where Bill was visiting Jason's family. Feel free to correct me on that. But there was a moment in a restaurant or a public place where Jason had this Frank Drebin moment where he went to the restroom while he was still mic'd, and one could listen to him, you know, take a piss for about 10 seconds. It was quite funny.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I like the rundown on Ron Howard's directorial career from a few episodes ago.
It's from our Ron Howard.
I agree. There's really nothing special or memorable about Backdraft other than Donald Sutherland's stupid Hannibal Lecter impression. You know, where he says something like, did the fire look at you, Brian? Did it look at you?
Wow, you know, I don't even remember him.
Completely horrible.
Is he in that?
I figured I would let you know that about a month ago I was involved in the recording of my first podcast. There's a friend of mine who attempted to record a podcast. He wanted to do his own program that focuses mainly on TV shows and video games, and I volunteered for a guest spot. We were both fans of Almost Human, the show, and it had, at that time, it had recently finished its first season, and we decided to do an episode on that. Due to problems with either Skype connections or internet problems on his side, conversation recording was split up into two sessions over a couple of weeks. And we recorded what I think was about 80 to 90 minutes worth of material about the show. And this was, you know, general overview of the show, what we thought about performances or certain episodes, the show's overall strengths and weaknesses, potential for a second season. I even name dropped Entertainment Landfill because your podcast was one of the places that I had first heard about the show. After we had finished, he told me that he would update me when it was ready for posting on his either his website or some wherever he planned to host the podcast, or even when he would want to submit it to iTunes. After a couple of weeks, I had not heard anything, so I messaged him and asked what the progress was.
Dude, what up with
the
podcast?
He told me that, unfortunately, for some reason, in the recording, the sound on my end was problematic, and as a result, around 20 minutes worth of the episode was salvageable. And
it's
he apologized. I told him, no worries.
Where'd he go? Hey, what the hell just happened? Oh, my God.
He wanted to give it another try.
Someone save
should.
Him.
Wait, is this
and
what his friend was talking
he
about?
Did, and I told him I'd be up for it. So
is he coming up out of the water?
subject of Almost Human again, although I bet it will be a more bittersweet discussion due to the show's fate, and I won't reveal that here in case you guys wanted to discuss that later on.
No, it's canceled.
Oh, he's out. We may talk about something else because, you know, for example, we're big Game of Thrones fans, so we may record an episode in June when the show wraps up on its current season. If we attempt this again and are successful, I will post some information about the show either on Facebook or Twitter. You know, download links, you know, name of the podcast. And I really hope that this works out since it's given me a bug to record podcasts rather than just listen to them all the time. So, if all goes well and peaceful tonight, I will be in the chat room for the episode. And if I'm not, you know, either way, good luck and keep up with the good work, guys. Later.
Oh my God!
Everybody, I thought he dialed out of that dive.
You know what, Adam? Congratulations, recording a podcast. It's fun to do. You know, when I got the bug, I wanted to record all the time. I had all this creative energy and stuff I wanted to do. You know, drops and shows to record and funny bits. And then slowly, you know, you...
it ebbed into what it is now.
I mean, come on. We've been doing it for years, though.
You go to the doctor, and you get antibiotics. And
it's a lot of fun, Adam. But also, no, you got to do it for you at first.
Yeah.
I honestly, nobody listened to our show in the beginning. Nobody. And if I looked at the numbers, you know, it would just kind of be like, oh,
Jason was
listening.
Jason said to me, he was like, if 20 people listen, I'll be happy.
Eventually that happened, but in the beginning, you're just recording for the fun of having a conversation with your friend. And I've described podcasting before. It's recording on a cassette recorder. You know, you hit record.
Fisher Price.
You and your buddies talk. Then when the episode's over, you pop it out, you label it, like, this is episode 1 or 2, 3, 4, or 5, and roll down your window, throw it out the window while you're on the freeway, and hope that someone finds it and listens to it.
And then run over by a semi and crushed.
That's what podcasting is. Seriously. But eventually, when you have listeners and they're, like, giving feedback like you gave to us, it's awesome. So it can be a lot of fun, but I'm just saying, early on, it's...
And have a name that kind of goes with the show.
Yeah, that helps.
Hey, Nora Mulberry is a great name.
I'm not saying it wasn't a great name, but it doesn't tell you what the show is about.
What the hell? Nowhere and where?
I honestly think if we would have been TV talk, like out the gate, we probably would have had some people like, oh, TV talk. I want to hear that. And we would go.
Yeah, because they'll find you.
Basically, we had a name where people would be like, what the hell's that? No, let me keep going and keep looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now we have one more voicemail. This one is Rick. Let's check it out. Rick.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I saw that you were doing a show. So a voicemail is required on my part because I highly enjoy the show. And anyone else who enjoyed it should also send a voicemail because everyone's getting bloody sick of me sending them in. But have a great show, guys. And I do always enjoy listening. This was Rick from Australia. And Twin Peaks had a bloody great ending. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, Rick, thanks. All right, guys, let's do entertainment. Thanks, everybody, for your voicemail. Woo! Now, Bill, I wanted to ask you this because I know you're super excited about Godzilla.
Godzuki!
Are you annoyed that they keep revealing more?
Oh, my God. New? Will they just stop?
They keep showing more. At first, they would barely show any of Godzilla. Now they're, okay, let's just show them. And
I try to avoid it.
They're showing everything now.
I keep getting excited. But, you know, the last international trailer, it did give me chills. Like when Ken Watanabe goes, let them fight. And you see this, like, other monster swooping in, this big winged monster. It's like,
flawless victory.
Yeah, I can't wait. I guess they keep revealing. it's almost like they're like, people don't know what Godzilla is. It's, yeah, I Gojira. Think we do.
Yeah, we know who Godzilla is, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited for it. I can't
yeah,
wait.
It looks it's cool like, and stuff. Yeah, I know there's a cool lot of people that are super geeky about Godzilla and they collect the figurines and stuff. Is right. it just a childhood thing when you watched it?
Absolutely. I think I'm geeky about video games. Some people, you know, are geeky about Godzilla.
I remember having Godzilla nightmares when I was a kid.
I never had. My nightmares were quicksand.
I don't know. I was a kid. I was little.
It's like, were you afraid he was going to step on you or I destroy your house?
I did think, like, Mecha Godzilla was pretty awesome.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. I did think it was awesome.
It was like Johnny Sacco versus Godzilla.
Johnny Sacco and his giant robot was awesome. I love that. He'd be like, you know, he's a robot. You know, the robot suit looks like it's made out of like vinyl or something.
Oh, God.
But it's the sound effects with, are like,
There was a Godzilla movie near the, I don't know where it was, but they had a character named Jet Jaguar.
Yeah.
And it was very similar to the kind of Johnny Sacco large vinyl robot.
Well, it's like Ultraman too. That was a metal.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's very Jet Jaguar's very yeah. Ultraman. Pretty Jet sweet. Jaguar.
I'm excited about Godzilla. Now we all saw Amazing Spider-Man 2 last week, right?
Right. Yes, and we had differing opinions.
What, you know what's funny? About that, in the intro, I played J. Jonah Jameson from the Spider-Man trilogy of Sam Raimi. Why does J. Jonah not exist in this?
He exists in email.
He is such an awesome character in those movies. He's awesome. There's all this.
These Mark Webb Spider-Man movies are so self-obsessed with this romance aspect. Like, I was getting angry while watching The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, just get on with it. I want to see Spider-Man. I don't care about his pouting or his parents or any of this shit. Just give me Spider-Man.
Well,
because
that's
where the movie shines.
In the Spider-Man comic, we have Spider-Man, we have Aunt May, we have the Daily Bugle, we have J. Jonah Jameson. He's in all the comics. Why haven't they introduced that in this version?
The Daily Bugle is a non-entity in this version.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But why? If you... what's that actor's name who plays J. Jonah in those movies? He's fantastic.
God and damn it. What is his name? Cave Johnson.
What was
Sorry, that's a Portal reference. He plays Cave Johnson in Portal 2. Shit, what is his name? I can't remember.
I could easily look it up on something called IMDb.
Well,
know
if this dog would
name.
Leave me alone, I would be able to do it.
J.K. Simmons. Okay. J.K. Simmons is awesome in that scene, in all the scenes, in all the movies. And what I do like about the Mark Webb Spider-Man, of course, Spider-Man swinging in the city. Looks visually awesome, right?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
I like Andrew Garfield.
He's great when he's Spider-Man.
When he's Spider-Man, yes. We know that there are too many villains in this movie, right?
Like, I really didn't think there were too many villains. I just think there were badly conceived villains.
What I mean by too many is they. What's funny is the movie's really long, but they don't give enough time to anything.
Jesus Christ, is it long? It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Well, the Green Goblin thing
was barely in it.
It was just like all of a sudden, okay, now I'm the Green Goblin. You know, it just was so fast, like.
Right.
Why? It's almost like the filmmaker's like, we need him to be the Green Goblin and by the end of the movie, so come on, guys. Come on. Come on.
Yeah,
come on,
and the Electro stuff like, was just, I so didn't care. The Electro stuff, you know what it reminded me of? Batman and Robin. It was that.
I've heard a lot of people say that, but I think it was visually pretty cool.
It was very cool visually, like when they're swinging around in that battle with the substation.
Wait, you're looking for a raise? Get out.
It was very cool, but just the puns and the whole idea of him falling into a pit, you know, just the – it just all felt very – like it lost respect. Like whereas the Sam Raimi films have a respect for the material and made it very serious, this felt so cartoony, like Saturday morning cartoony.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, that didn't bother me because of the Spider-Man kind of – you know, it's from a comic book – I just wanted
there to be Spider-Man versus Electro only. Give him more to do, more of a story.
But Electro was such a poorly conceived villain. Like, the whole thing after he saves him, and then he's, like, obsessive about him with all the stuff on his wall, and he's talking to himself. And
there wasn't enough about him, you know?
Yeah. There was nothing about him. All we knew is it was that typical cliche of the guy that no one pays attention to, and then someone pays attention to him, and all of a sudden he's a freaking psycho about it.
Well, yeah, but honestly, before the movie came out, I thought Paul Giamatti was the bad guy in the movie.
I was hoping he was the bad guy, not
what the hell?
This... Hell, it opens with him as the bad guy, so you're thinking...
He's in the movie, 4 minutes or something?
Yeah, 4 or 5 minutes.
And that part, I love that whole part in the opening where the Spider-Man's juggling the stuff and he's trying to catch it all. It was entertaining. One of my favorite scenes is him with the little boy with the science project.
That was fantastic.
Enjoy that. I just think they're giving a lot of things the short shrift.
They needed to decide what they wanted to make. Did they want to make a love story? Did they want to make an action movie? Did they want to make a comic book movie?
Him and Gwen Stacy are great together. I think that stuff, they need to, they had them together or not together or whatever, and the stuff with Dennis Leary.
Can you even imagine how much longer and drawn out that movie would have been if they would have kept the Mary Jane stuff?
I know, like, that was the thing. They hired Shailene Woodley to be Mary Jane. I don't even think there was a script yet. Maybe there was. I don't know.
No, she shot a couple days' worth of stuff.
And then they were like, okay, we're not going to introduce you in this movie. And it's like, can you guys get organized, maybe? Hello? You hired
that, and that's
the
exactly... The movie is so disorganized.
Yeah.
And that's crap.
And then I there was one thing that made me laugh out loud, and this is so nitpicky, and I will totally own up to it. The very end, when it's decided that Gwen needs to go with him to reset this substation, and she's the only one that can do it because she knows the schematics and everything, she gets in that room, and then there's a huge freaking button that says reset.
It's like anybody could have done this.
She knows that, so she has to go in. I mean, come on. Be a little less lazy.
Yeah.
It was driving me crazy how just pedestrian it was.
You've got to push in an order or something.
There's things. What I did like, they have the Spider-Man action swinging through the city down. It looks awesome. But they've got to work on the story. Holy shit.
That was what Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi film... Even when I just mention it, say the name, I get chills.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece.
That's how
it's
good
awesome.
That was. The whole story, when you want to deal with a story with weight, with emotional weight, you think about the relationship between Otto Octavius and Peter Parker that Alfred Molina and Tobey Maguire had, and where that went. It was so perfectly done.
And, I so don't like how... Every Spider-Man villain comes from Oscorp now. What the hell is that?
Entire thing.
Their R&D division came up with what?
It's set up for the whole Sinister Six thing.
I know,
and reeks of desperation.
In the early Marvel films, I accused Thor and even Captain America, it's set up for the Avengers. This felt like set up for, okay, we need to put this in place and this in place and this in place.
Yeah.
It's okay if there's an awesome story and then that set up, but when it all feels like set up, it's a little disappointing.
Yeah, and you see all the stuff at the end as they're walking through Oscorp, and you see the Doc Ock
the
stuff, and you see the...
And you know, I saw it with Emma and Steven. Emma goes, "Dad, Doc Ock! You can see that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I see that." And it was funny, I asked Emma, and I go, "Let me ask you a question, okay? Superman or Spider-Man?" She goes, "Spider-Man." I go, "Okay. Batman or Spider-Man?" "Spider-Man." Okay. Captain America, Spider-Man, X-Men, whatever. Everything Spider-Man. It's her favorite superhero.
It's because Spider-Man, they were smart in that Spider-Man has a connection to children. They went out of their way to include those two scenes.
When I was a kid, Electric Company.
Yeah.
I love Spider-Man, and I love the way he pisses off the villains, and he has funny things he says, and he taunts them. It's awesome.
The Times Square scene was wonderfully done. Anything involving Spider-Man as Spider-Man was wonderful. I was smiling ear to ear.
If they could have just focused on that and focused on what makes Spider-Man great instead of trying to put all these things and gear them up for a Spider-Man franchise.
Hey, we have Sally Field. Let's include scenes in a hospital that have absolutely no bearing on the story.
Oh my God, that was... Okay, this is what I thought during the movie. They kept cutting to people in an air traffic tower.
Yes.
And people on an airplane.
Yes.
I was like, why are they cutting over to these people that have nothing to do with the main part of this?
Is this supposed to be tense? Because it's boring the shit out of me.
Well, it's just like, what is this, Die Hard 2 now?
Yeah. Oh my God, the planes are on a crash course. I was like,
I'll get back to Spider-Man. I don't care about these people.
They've got to get that power back up.
That was like such a miscalculation. Oh.
The entire movie was a miscalculation.
Madman.
After watching something like Captain America and then this,
God.
Guys, get your shit together.
That was my first thought. Like, what is going on? Marvel is, they're probably sitting there, like, with face palming when they watch that.
Well, it's like the first Amazing Spider-Man. What I got out of that was that Andrew Garfield's awesome. He's great as Spidey. But the Sam Raimi series owns your ass, you know?
Yeah.
I honestly think that. But I see a lot of people saying, well, it's still way better than the Raimi Spider-Man. And I'm like, you're wrong. Go back and watch them. They were awesome.
They were fantastic. They had heart. They had action. The music was
genius, freaking
incredible. Like, I think about the Elfman music, and it's just – it's chilling. Like, I just love that
this soundtrack was very strange, I thought.
It was very strange.
What is the weird, like, electro music?
Can I just can I make another complaint? The freaking montage with Peter Parker listening to Philip Phillips. That was so douche chill inducing. Like, I'm going to put my headphones on and I'm going to soak and listen to Philip Phillips. And then I'm going to, oh, wait a second. I'm going to pull all this stuff out and I'm going to make a chart. Because
you know
I'm
what
crazy.
I wanted, Bill, at the very bottom of the screen during that? Available on iTunes.
Yeah. No, it should have had the Shazam logo.
Shazam logo.
Get out your phones and Shazam this.
It's like,
song.
Oh, shit, man. And got my phone out, holding it up to the screen. Oh, and yes, I got it.
The music itself, it was so inappropriate for the scene.
That's the only Philip Phillips song I know.
That's all. Yeah, that's...
It sounded just like that song.
It was that song. It was the same song that they used in the Disney Bears commercial.
I think it was actually a different song. It just sounds just like that song.
You know what? They all sound the same. It's just one of those things where I was like blown away by so much of it felt like a Sony ownership. Like, well, let's use an artist
Did
here.
You like that new, fresh Sony logo before the
Did
movie
you,
started?
Yes. Yeah. Did you like, as they're in Times Square, the Or no, it wasn't Times Square. Yeah, it was the opening scene. There was this gigantic Blu-ray billboard.
Yeah.
That you could not see.
What I think is funny is we know iPhones are so prevalent, or Samsung phones, in all TV shows, but not Peter Parker. He's got a Sony phone. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious that he had a Sony phone. I was like, I don't know anyone who has a Sony phone.
We've just identified the main problem with The Amazing Spider-Man.
It was a commercial.
It was a commercial.
I just like, Peter, happy birthday. I just got you this new 4K set for your room. He's like, oh, awesome. It's four times the resolution of regular HD, Aunt May. She goes, it sure is. And I even got you this hard drive with Resident Evil. Oh, awesome!
Here's a
you can watch the other guys in 4K!
And the new Karate Kid with that Will Smith son little shit guy. Jayden. Yeah, Jayden. Steven, did you really just...
I did just say that.
All right.
Yeah, I just... I was so disappointed just because I expected more. They were so talking it up, like, now this is the chance for us to tell a real story. You know, we got it out of the way with the first one. We had the Sam Raimi influence.
You got the origin story, but you kept going on with it.
Yeah. It just, wow.
Really disappointed.
And then I was shocked to be on Facebook and post just that it was really not very good. And then other people were like, this was a great film. I was like, what movie were you watching?
Disappointed!
Yeah, I did not understand.
Honestly, after, it was the kind of thing where after it was over, I was like, oh, that was entertaining and stuff. And it was driving, you're like, well, wait a second. You know? I thought it was a jip. The whole Rhino thing was a jip. And I don't understand why he's in a Titan from Titanfall at the end.
The Rhino thing was a jip. Yeah, that was...
He's in a Rhino Titan, Bill.
Yeah, he was in a Rhino Titan.
I did love that final slow-mo bullet time Spider-Man swinging the manhole and all that.
Again, every time we had Spider-Man, it was great.
Yeah, the little boy goes out there. That stuff was cool.
You're the bravest kid I know.
Bill, if you watch that final scene, Rhino's got a giant robot that's firing missiles and, I don't know, 50 caliber bullets. And what's separating him from the cops and the people on the street is tape.
Yeah.
And they're just standing there like it's a parade. And it's like, he's firing missiles and 50 caliber bullets.
Where are they going?
They're apparently the tape. They stop.
There are a massive amount of death behind that tape.
I'm sorry, but if I see a dude in a giant thing like that, I'm not standing behind tape, leaning over into the street like it's a parade. I'm running away. But everyone's like, hey, what's going on? And it's like, and he's blowing up cop cars. Cops are like, ah! And they're like, oh, wow, what is this? Spidey's here! Woohoo! And it's like,
he'll save us from missiles and bullets.
We went through the montage of him, him mourning, and now he's back. Yeah, I just think it's funny that they have it roped off. It's just so funny.
Yeah, there's so much that,
well, that they had time to rope it off while he's in the Rhino.
Okay, we've got the Rhino here.
To rope it off.
We better
there's a man rampaging through the street.
Put the yellow caution tape out now.
The more I think about it, it is ridiculous, isn't it? Well, it's just like the Times Square stuff. Electro, the guy can't be killed by bullets. People, you know, he's electrocuting everything. Everyone's like, hey, I'm going to hang out and see what happens.
Yeah, and there was the one scene that actually made me laugh out loud was we go into bullet time so that Peter Parker can save people from touching
their railing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
By the way, a lot of the ideas they've stolen from the Sam Raimi franchise of...
Because they don't have anything original.
When Peter did... had the Spider-Man's spider senses tingling, it doesn't come across as well in this series. I don't even know if he's getting it or not. You know, they're not telling us. But that was so much more better executed in the Raimi. And I'll stop comparing that, but I'm just going to say there's a lot of good ideas they have in that hell, steal them because they work better, you know? Go ahead and steal them.
This one it seemed that Peter Parker was more of an idiot. Like, he was kind of like the bumbling, kind of almost Charlie Chaplin-esque when he wasn't Spider-Man. when he wasn't Spider-Man. You know, we had the whole scene with him trying to figure out the electric shock with the web slingers.
Yeah, but
and
that
all
cracked
that.
Me up. That was good stuff.
I know. I'm saying it was funny, but then it's instantly solved. Like, you go through this whole scene, and then it just felt so disingenuous to me. Like, it was like, choose who he is.
Yeah, I didn't mind the comic relief, but yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like one moment he's sulking, and then the next moment he's goofy, and then the next moment he's Spider-Man, and then it's just, it felt very
uneven.
All over the place.
I'm sorry, but Spider-Man got his powers from a random radioactive spider biting him. That's the way it is. Don't tell me his dad developed it with his DNA.
That entire thing.
It only
oh my
works
God,
on
that,
Peter that well, way. They did,
that's the same storyline as the Hulk.
Yeah. His dad in the Ang Lee version.
Yeah, in the Ang Lee version.
They don't need that. Why did they even have that story? The whole opening with his parents on a jet. First of all, we know his parents are dead. So they're showing us an opening to a movie in the sequel of two people we already know are dead.
Yeah. And the whole computer thing, like, oh, it's closed. Oh, I've got to open it back up and make
I like
the connection.
How he...
Oh, wait. It takes...
Sent and... gets sucked out of the
plane. What was it? 15 years later, it finally finishes downloading off a 1200 baud rate modem.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was... But
I mean, you heard it. Ding, ding.
The whole idea that you open the movie with people that are already dead to show us, and we're like, I didn't wonder.
Yeah, they were so uninteresting in the first one, you decided to make them less interesting.
Oh,
in the
great.
Second?
We got to see his mom get murdered. Thanks a lot, movie.
That was really fantastic.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I don't understand what the hell they're doing, but...
I don't think they don't understand what the hell they're doing.
But I'm excited about X-Men. But
oh yeah, that I loved seeing that trailer in 3D finally, because I knew that scene where like they're jumping through the portal was going to look cool in 3D.
Oh yeah,
and it just that movie, it's kind of comparing apples to oranges, but it's like one is very rushed and improperly conceived, and then the other
Spider-Man,
one, there's just so much love in it.
They have all the tools they can use that they need.
Yeah, they do, but
I didn't think the cast is great. Dane DeHaan was perfect for that role, but man, they didn't give him the right script to work with to make use of. And why can't they get the Green Goblin right? I think he looked like shit in Sam Raimi's version too. Why can't they get him right? I don't understand.
I think it's because the original basically looks like a gigantic gnome.
Yeah, he's like a goblin or
so they don't know really what to do with it.
I say just do it. Go full bore, you know. Let us see him the way he looks in the comics, and I swear we'll think it's awesome. We'll get used to it, you know.
Probably.
All right, let's do What's on TiVo, and I got to use the bathroom. What's on TiVo? I don't have to strain myself. Why am I working so hard? Oh, no, it's Ruby Rod, you guys. All right, guys. We're going to use the restroom in a moment, okay? I'm going to play one clip, Bill.
All right.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. It's a Cake Boss clip.
Oh, whoa.
And this is how I want to set it up. I don't know if Buddy's been taking drugs. I imagine he's either on shrooms or some really good acid. But he's making a cloud cake here. And I'm pretty sure he's on something. So let's go ahead
Cloud
and check this
nine?
Out. Tell me if you think he's on some kind of like...
Hallucinogen
or something. Let's check this out.
Look at me. I guess, you know, putting cotton candy on a cake just brings out fun in the air. Everybody was having a great time putting that cotton candy on.
It looks like a big cloud.
Got a balloon for me, Ralph? Whee! Hey, out of the clouds, everyone! Cotton candy for everyone!
He's totally hot.
After we
pop the
balloons, we're kind of climbing up in the clouds and just spinning around and having a great time.
Oh, jeez, the music is so loud.
It looks like a cloud in the sky with balloons in it.
I still want to see you going to hide it.
Are you
going to
go in a hide balloon?
I know we built this cake sturdy. I just hope it fits in a balloon, and I'm kind of worried about when we land that it all stays together.
All right, Danny, get it there. Don't forget the cotton candy machine. We got to make more.
The music, freaking carnival music.
Oh, they couldn't afford real Calliope music?
Did you hear the deep voice guy? Check this out. But he was totally tripping on something there.
Needed Anakin's in there. Yippee!
Hey, I'm in the clouds, everyone. Cotton candy for everyone.
Okay, weirdo.
I kind of miss Cake Boss when I hear that.
Dude, be tripping. All right, guys, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. All right, see you right here.
What, are you looking for a raise? Get out.
My husband is about to eat a new candy. New super fruity Bonkers. My son thought Bonkers was gum. He knows it's candy now. Chewy fruity candy with this extra fruity inside. So super fruity when you eat Bonkers fruit candy.
Bonkers. Bonks you out.
Dumb candy.
Artificially flavored.
Burger Chef introduces Star Wars Fun Meals for your kids. A hamburger, french fries, and Coca-Cola. Imagine how much fun your kids will have. Star Wars Fun Meals. Collect all seven. Only at Burger Chef.
Starbird, a product of Space Age Technology created by MB Electronics.
Stand by for final check.
Starbird sensors trigger microcircuitry to generate the matching sounds of climbing.
Level off. Descend. Fire laser gun. That does it. Thank you.
Starbird from MB Electronics. Give your child a look at tomorrow today. Command base and launching pad sold separately.
What a zoo full of fun for lunch.
Zeroni.
We love it a bunch.
Good fun for you, good for you too.
Zeroni, Zeroni, we munch.
Animal-shaped pasta from Chef Boyardee.
Yummy tomato sauce.
Cheese.
And pasta shaped like us.
Elvis meatball. Delicious.
And nutritious.
Zeroni, Zeroni, we munch.
Zeroni, with or without meatballs. A zoo full of fun that's good for you too.
Donkey Kong Jr. cereal. It's pretty wild.
It's the jungle of delight in every fruity bite of Donkey Kong Jr. cereal.
Wild. Told ya.
It tastes like fruit and it's lots of fun. New Donkey Kong Jr. cereal.
New Donkey Kong Jr. cereal is part of this complete breakfast.
It tastes like fruit and it's lots of fun.
It's wild with fruit flavor.
Donkey Kong Jr. cereal.
Gentlemen, turn on your lights.
Slam Shark Camaro, Avenger Competition Mustang, Sabertooth Tiger Datsun CX. They're powered by your fist, and if you want to race in the dark, you turn on just one switch. Each sold separately, AAA battery not included. Lighted Slam Shifters, Slam Shark Camaro, Avenger Competition Mustang, Sabertooth Tiger Datsun CX. Each sold separately from Ideal.
You're going, you're moving, you got to keep moving. Can't hold you back, you got it, that you're on the go.
On the go. Cause you know you got to show. You keep it moving, keep it proving. You just can't take it slow.
Together,
on the go.
McDonald's family.
Quarter pounder large fries.
McDonald's family.
Icy Coke and apple pie.
McDonald's and you.
With the influence.
Hey guys, look what I got!
Jello pudding pops. It's creamy jello pudding frozen on a stick.
Disguised as mighty vehicles. You can pretend only you and
the friendly GoBots can save the Earth from the enemy GoBots.
You're trapped, Turbo!
Leader went to the rescue!
They hide among us as earthly vehicles, but you can change them into robots, each sold separately.
Take this, Psycho! Now who's trapped?
GoBots. Leader 1, Turbo, and Psykill, each sold separately. New from Tonka.
Hi, I'm Nancy McKeon, and I'll be right back with one to grow on.
Alfie, the bees are missing from alphabets.
Nancy McEvil again.
Get him, Alfie.
Post-alphabet cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. It's doggone good.
Who's that turning on your wheels? Who's that riding at your heels? Who's got lots of fun appeal?
It's Alfie!
Bike Reflector, Alfie!
Bike Reflector and Fun Club games in each specially marked box of post-alphabet cereal.
Watch. Here comes the nerd.
Can I play?
Listen, Bob, why don't you go catch some of your butterflies or something? This is a serious game.
So Bobby's an oddball, right? Wrong. It's funny, but believe it or not, some people have thought I was strange. But once they got to know me, they realized I wasn't. You see, it goes back to that old saying, you don't really know someone until you know someone. People have a way of surprising you if you give them a chance.
Guys, what have we got to lose?
Hey, Bobby!
Hey! I didn't know it could shoot like that.
And that's one to grow on.
Boy! I wish the Crunch Island treasure was mine.
You can win $1,000 of it.
$1,000?
Just check the treasure chest and specially marked boxes of Cap'n Crunch cereal for a coin that says, you win.
I won.
I'll give you $1,000 to save or buy something special or treat your family.
I'll get it.
For free treasure coins, write Treasure Hunt, Box 789, Young America, Minnesota, 55399. Chance to win is about 1 in 56,000.
Nice tip there.
The Force is back. The Rebels won't tire till they see the last of the Empire. And Kenner's there with Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection.
Now for a quick escape on his speeder bike.
New speeder bike. You have to put it together. Action figures each sold separately.
Meow. I've got you now. Open speed flaps and meow. I'm gonna crash.
Biker Scout, you're not all you're cracked up to be.
New speeder bike. Action figures sold separately from Kenner's Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection.
Alvin Simon Theater, the collection, each in really cute outfits. You can collect them one at a time, or in sets. And pretend to play ball with Simon.
But you know what's best about him?
They have funny little faces. The Chipmunk Collectibles, Alvin Simon and Theater, sold separately or in sets for free. New from Ideal.
Introducing High C Peach and Cherry in the drink box. They're so cool and so delicious.
That's why you love High C.
Big League 2 Baseball Bonanza.
In the big leagues.
Instant winners, 500,000 prizes.
In the big leagues.
Game cards and specially marked pouches of Big League 2. The man-sized wads of great-tasting shredded bubble gum.
Going to Big League 2.
The free game cards right to Big League 2. P.O. Box 1604, Hicksville, New York by December 1st, 1984. Contest details on specially marked packages. 1 in 39 will win the Big League 2 Baseball Bonanza.
Going to Big League 2.
Steak burgers are great burgers, full of great taste and good fun. Steak burgers are hamburgers with the steak sauce called A1. Pour on A1. Great taste, good fun. Steak burgers are hamburgers with the steak sauce called A1. Pour on A1.
I'd like to meet you. But I'll bet you're hoping for a hunk. And all I've got to offer is sensitivity, intelligence, and charm.
I'm drinking milk, though. And for the next couple seasons, I'll be working out.
Milk's about the best thing I can drink right now to help me build strong arms,
powerful legs, and a broad chest. And when all my work is done, will you love me just for my body?
I can live with that.
Milk, it does a body good.
Fighting tartar with regular toothpaste is like trying to dig a hole to China with a teaspoon. That's why Wisdom Tooth says, use Colgate Tartar Control. Colgate's proven 44% better than a regular toothpaste at fighting tartar buildup. 44%. So, to help beat tartar, get Colgate. To go to China, take a gin.
Colgate Tartar Control, the wise choice.
I'm on the clouds, everyone. Cotton candy for everyone.
I want some cotton candy. Why not?
Put down that gigantic cotton candy.
One of the best drops ever. All right, we are back. Woo-hoo. Okay, Jason, calm down.
Oh, that gigantic cotton candy. God damn it.
I actually had another Cake Boss clip, and I made it. Might as well play it, right?
Okay.
I worked hard on it. And here's what it is. We all know that Anthony is a big pain in the ass and he doesn't listen to anything Buddy says, right?
Right.
So let's see what happens when this is how Anthony handles things. By the way, what's funny is one time, did I tell you this, where I saw on Gawker, it was an article about Anthony where he posted, I can't remember what happened, but he posted something about America needs to stop letting people in this country. Oh, it was after the Boston bombing. You need to stop letting...
He also had something like really insensitive to say about transgendered people. And he's just an asshole.
And people
he's
are like,
mook.
Hey, asshole, your whole family are friggin' Italian immigrants. You wouldn't be here if we didn't allow people in there. And he's always writing stuff about Obama and stuff. But
oh, boy.
It's obviously he's not like a really smart guy.
He's a dum-dum.
So let's check this out. And let's see how Anthony handles things like a man. Let's check this out.
The cream puffs are way too big. Anthony made them yesterday when I wasn't here. To be honest, he's been giving me a little trouble lately.
I'm telling you that mix doesn't feel right. I'm telling you. He's telling you. Yeah, but it shouldn't be a little off.
Every mix ain't the same. It's been like that before. Bake it off. It'll be fine. I promise. Oh, my God.
Bad attitude.
I told him. That's why I told him.
Okay.
Look, he's been here forever. He's been a manager inside the baking room, and he should know the right size of a cream puff. It's too big. This is not a small cream puff. This is a medium cream puff. The height is good. The shape is good. The size is big. Did you use the small tips or the big tips?
Big.
You were supposed to use the small.
We used the big last time.
We did not. And that's why they came like this. This is too wide.
I bet Anthony's paid
the
really
fact,
well, too.
It doesn't bother me that they were big. The fact
Probably.
Is that I'm telling you they're too big, and you're looking at me like I'm crazy. As far as I'm concerned, every time I try to tell this kid something, he takes it offensively. Like you're going to tell me? I want Anthony to succeed. I want Anthony to run this baking room.
Anthony gets to be on TV. Come on.
If he doesn't do it my way, then he can't do it.
Every time. Deposit up, down. Up, down. Deposit up, down.
It'll take too long. It's not necessary.
No, it's not. He always tries to tell me there's more than one way to do something.
Wow.
He wants to be right, you know? And if that's the case, it just inside irritates me. Am I trying to be a jerk?
I know you're not. We're just having a conversation. We're trying to figure out the right thing. But when I answer you back, I'm not trying to answer you back disrespectfully. I'm trying to...
I understand what you're saying, but I've done this before.
Buddy is so used to hearing yes, 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 yes. So when he says something and I know it's wrong or I disagree, I'm going to let it be no. I'm not just going to yes somebody because they want to hear yes. I don't know what it is about Buddy. He always thinks he's right. And he's a very, very, very smart man. But even Einstein was wrong a couple times.
Couple.
We got a call from Anthony like an hour ago. And honestly, I couldn't even believe my ears.
This is not kidding around. This is serious, all right? Well, Anthony decided to leave. Okay? It's official. It's 100%. He's decided to move to Florida with his family. On a personal level, with you guys, I'll be honest. Yeah, that hurts a little bit. I treated him like a son. And he just basically says, yeah, I'm leaving. No explanation. No, we didn't talk about it. Just up and left.
That's pretty pussy thing to do, isn't it? Just leave.
It's very passive aggressive.
Yeah, what a dope. All right, I made a clip of Hell's Kitchen because I was mildly amused by it. I don't know if you guys are watching it on a week-to-week basis.
I haven't watched it at all yet, so I don't even know the special stupidity we have there this year.
There's lots.
Lots of special stupidity. There's one guy who sounds like Al Pacino. Have you noticed that guy?
Hoo-ah!
Sound like Foghorn Leghorn.
An Italian Foghorn Leghorn.
But there's this...
I'm just getting warmed up.
I don't think Gordon has... He's actually tricked something up where he says he's going to do individual interviews with each of them.
Right.
And talk about their strengths and weaknesses. Has he done that before?
Yeah, he's pulled them into the office and talked to them.
Like, when there's this many people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've only seen that at the end.
Yeah, like I've seen it when there's
talking
like
to who might win.
Three people left, but there's like a whole bunch, like 12 people, and he's calling them in there.
What, he didn't dress up as someone who wasn't, you know, like in the face makeup and sat on the bus and listened to them talk?
I do love his dummy office, though. I always love that.
There were 10 people left, right?
The office that looks like 12. A set?
12. Yeah, his office that isn't real, like he's stapling papers and doing paperwork. He's like scribbling paperwork. Yeah, spreadsheets here and scribble, scribble, scribble. Okay,
waiting for the people to come in. Waiting for the people to come in.
Well, he has them all in their dorm rooms, whatever they are, and he keeps calling to call for new people. But the same girl keeps jumping up to answer the phone as quick as she can, you know. So she
gets to see her. I mean, she jumps up, but nobody else is moving at all when it left. So it's like, all right, she's even answering the phone.
That's what I think. There's two points of view. She goes, well, nobody else seems to want to answer the phone. And another guy's like, look at her. She keeps jumping up as soon as it rings.
It's like, well, guess what? Yeah, he wants somebody to answer the phone.
My favorite part is when he goes, this is Gordon. And she goes, oh, hi, Gordon. And she's like, oh, my God, I just called
him. It's Jessica again.
Like, she's like, I should have called him Chef or something. All right, let's check this out. Prepare to be mildly amused, Steven.
Hello, this is Jessica.
Jessica, it's Gordon.
Oh, hey, Gordon, how are you?
Whoa.
Can you get everybody to meet me down in the dining room immediately, please?
Absolutely, Chef.
Sure thing, Chef Gordon. Ramsey.
I just called him Gordon. I just realized that. Like, you guys are buddies. Like, he calls you all the time.
Yeah. I thought it was important to do some performance evaluations. Not as a team, but just you and I together.
So Mike's got some feedback.
What?
One-on-one? Oh, you start getting nervous. It's like, I was not expecting that at all.
I'll call you when I'm ready.
Damn, just got real.
Yes!
I'm so excited.
For what?
Are you kidding me?
Excited for these cicadas.
Great. I'm so excited. This is what I wanted. I was the only one that was completely pumped, psyched, ready for it. And anything that you could give me, I will soak it in like a sponge.
Number one.
This is Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. It's Gordon again. Could you ask
Sandra to
come straight up to my office, please.
Of course.
Immediately. Thank
you. Thanks. You know, he's like a dog that sniffs fear.
So my big question to you is, do you care?
Oh.
Do you care?
Absolutely, 100% I care. I really care.
Okay. That's a tough question.
Jessica again.
Could you ask Gabriel to
head to my office?
Of course.
Listen to what
you
he
take
says.
Advice from Chef Renzi. I don't give a if he tells you how to wipe your he might know how to do it a little bit better.
Yeah, back to front.
Hello?
Hi, Jessica.
Could you ask Joy
to come to my office, please?
Of course. Joy. Hello? Hello.
You're doing it all wrong.
This is Jessica. I always wanted a phone call from Chef Ramsay. So I kept on answering the phone. Nobody else wanted to answer the phone, so I was like, all right, why not? I always wanted to talk to Gordon Ramsay on the phone, so.
All right,
Jessica's
you're on dope.
Kind of crazy.
Jessica again.
She's sitting by the phone, jumping to answer that thing as fast as possible.
Ooh.
Why is this such an annoying ring?
Hello.
She's a little bit nuts.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
All right, she's psycho.
Wow. That, you know, is it a Foley artist that has way too much fun on that show?
Yes. The phone probably doesn't even sound like that, does it?
No. There is a point in there where you hear like the boy yo 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 yo. Really?
Oh, Foggy works on that show.
I think whoever's doing it is serious. There, it must be the worst job in the world, and they're just entertaining themselves.
Yeah, entertaining the shit out of themselves. There was one point where they were cleaning, like they were making the guys who lost clean all the wait staff stuff.
Right. Oh, of
and
course.
Goes, the guy goes, "Well, you want me to spit shine the shoes?" And he's Jean-Philippe's like, "Oh yes, if you can." And he's like, "Spit shine? What an idiot!" or something like that. I don't know. It's all scripted. But anyway, I want to talk about 24 here in a second. But Bill, I want to talk about some other shows we're watching right now.
Okay.
And one of them that has been really awesome. I don't know if you're watching it, Stephen, but Silicon Valley on an HBO.
No.
Love that show.
It's very entertaining. Mike Judge, Office Space.
It's such a Mike Judge show.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it has to do with guys in Silicon Valley, startups and all that kind of thing, right. Working at Google or a place called Hooli.
Hooli, yeah.
Oh, my God, Bill, that episode where the guy is trying to talk on his hologram. That was so funny.
I was dying. And they're like, well, I guess there's just not enough bandwidth in it. They try every different way possible.
He's like, okay, well, let's just go on Skype. And then he's like, you know, it like messes up. And then he gets the phone call. Like the conversation keeps degrading until finally the phone. Let's talk on the phone. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I think I lost you.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah, and that that character, I'd love to know if, like, Leo Laporte or any of the people like that have talked about the show.
Yeah,
because
I've heard
that it's like, eerily similar to a lot of real people.
Yeah, that's right in their wheelhouse, you know, the way that shows. And I wonder, is the Hooli guy, is he...
Gavin Newsom?
Is he supposed to be Bill Gates, or is he...
Is he, like, one of the Google guys? Like,
yeah.
There's just this arrogance in this...
of several different ones.
Mm-hmm.
I love how he always has the guru with him. And the guru's just kind of dumbfounded by the way he interprets situations and twists them. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, the guy who plays, I'm forgetting his name. The guy who died.
Oh, shit.
What's his real name?
Christopher Evan Welch plays Peter Gregory.
Yeah, Christopher Gregory, character is fantastic. He's this weird, eccentric guy who offers the main character, like, what is it, like $100,000 or something? And where the Hooli guy offers him $10 million. And he can either create his own company and take the lower amount of money or just be bought outright. And that's the first episode, the pilot. And you really start to think about that. Would you rather start your own company, or would you just take $10 million and be done with it?
Yeah, throughout the entire episode so far, he's saying, like, man, I just should have taken the money.
And I love the character of Big Head. You know, the guy they call Big Head? He gets hired by Hooli, or he already works for Hooli, but he gets promoted. They give him a $600,000 raise just as an FU to the other guy.
Well, they're hoping to mine him for data.
Yeah, and I love when they figure out that he doesn't know anything, and they kind of like, okay, well, you have no projects right now. And he goes, will I be reassigned anytime soon? And he goes, not at this time. So he's like, well, what do I do? Whatever you want to do. And so he works.
Are you firing me? No. We honor all contracts.
We honor contracts. And one day he's walking. He has nothing to do at work. And a hacky sack almost hits him in the head. And this dude's like, hey, dude, up here. And so he walks up on the roof and he meets these other guys who are playing hacky sack. And they're like, he's like, what do you guys do? And they're like, we don't do anything.
We're on assignments.
And they just hang out there. And they get paid to do nothing because they have contracts.
It's the rejects.
Yeah, and they can't even work anywhere else, can they? Because of their contract.
No, because you've got a contract. Then you're getting free money.
That's so crazy. And I like how they just show Big Head. He's just eating all the time and stuff. They're just hanging out there. It's a very funny show. Check it out, Steven.
It's really well done. And
it was just sad that one of the actors that plays one of the great characters, he died in real life. And I don't know what they're going to do with his character now.
I guess he's just not... he will be like a man of mystery, kind of like the John Hurt character in Contact, maybe.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. Oh, and another... You know, of course, Game of Thrones is going on right now, Bill.
Oh, and, you know, I do have to mention that one of the guys in it who plays the Pakistani, Dinesh, Kumail Nanjiani, mm-hmm. is the co-host of the podcast The Indoor Kids with his wife.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
And I love that show. I listened to it all day today while I was getting stuff ready, and it's just so refreshing to listen to a like actual gamer podcast with people that actually game.
I want to check it out.
It's fantastic.
You know what's funny? The girl named Monica in Silicon Valley, she looks so familiar to me. It was like,
yeah.
I know her from somewhere. Where do I know her from? And she's the girl from Sex Drive.
Remember that movie? And I have such a crush on her. I've always had a crush on her. And then you see her, and it's like, oh, hey, I remember her. She's taller than I remember.
And
maybe
like
she's taller than all the guys in the show.
Yeah, I think the guys are all just short. But Martin Starr, he's great in this, too.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's the Canadian guy.
I think the last episode I watched was the one where the T.J. Miller character, Ehrlich, tries to get a Latino guy to create a new logo for Pied Piper.
Yeah.
And the logo is hilarious. Like, eventually it works out to one of the characters being bum violated by another character.
What is this guy thinking? And I love that when he sees Dinesh, he's like, oh, cool, you got a Hispanic working for your company? And he's like, yeah, Hispanic.
Yes.
He's Pakistani. He just goes along with it. It's a funny show.
Yeah, but it really is.
Are you watching Game of Thrones right now, Bill?
I am. I am all caught up, finally.
Now, I have not read any of the books, and I'm not going to. They're too long.
You don't have to now.
Okay, cool. But what I was going to say is I keep reading, and I'm totally not in the know, where people go, it's totally veered off of books and stuff. They're kind of just creating things. Does that bother you at all?
No, I think it was a knee-jerk reaction, but I also think that they're doing their own thing. You know, they've created situations that never happened in the book. But a lot of people were jumping to a conclusion, like, well, does this mean this is going to happen? And no, it doesn't. Just let them tell a story. Stop knee-jerking on everything and go with it.
Like the character of Marjorie, is she even in the books?
Yeah.
But not at the extent she is in the show? Or do they give her more to do in the show?
No, I think the big thing that people were upset about is they were introducing characters early or having characters not do things. And right. The big thing was in one of the last episodes, it showed the origin of the White Walkers. And that's something that's never happened in the books.
Right.
And okay. People were like, so now the show is spoiling the books?
That's funny.
So, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
You have to have knowledge of the books to understand the scene of the white.
Yeah, because I
king
wondered, I thought
touching
that was
the baby.
Trippy. Yeah.
Yeah, because this is now we're getting into territory of like legend that's only kind of alluded to
now,
in the
awesome.
Books.
Yeah.
And it's kind of revealing an end game, and people were worried that maybe there's rumors that George R. R. Martin is ill and that he's not going to be able to finish the book, so he gave the ending to the writers, and now the writers are taking it and running with it.
Oh, come on.
So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. People just can't disconnect the two.
Yeah.
And
it's
getting a little
books.
Crazy.
People really into the books, right?
Well, so, you know what? They spend so many years with them, and then they have to wait. God, the last book was almost like a 10-year wait.
Wow.
So they're invested, and they feel cheated.
Like, I really enjoyed the last episode where they were on the, you know, the Craster's Keep and all that stuff.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's not in the books at all, right?
Yeah,
but
no,
I love the fact that
that
whole action scene set piece happened. I thought was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. And a lot of people thought that Bran was going to meet up with Jon Snow. And in the books, Jon Snow is still totally unaware of Bran. They, like, moved the story forward a couple
books
with that. I can
understand. They're doing a TV show. They can't have things separate for so long.
And a lot of people thought they were going to meet up, and then they're like, how are they going to do that? And no, they aren't going to meet up. They're going their separate ways,
yeah,
and they just kind of...
It's the kind of thing where they just need to lay back and just kind of relax.
They're creating drama. It's a television show. Relax. The books are so wordy and very... they take their time.
Right.
And the show doesn't. The show moves at a massive speed. And I think the other thing was, in the books, it's never truly revealed who poisoned Joffrey, because it's a non-issue. And they kind of say who did it in the show, indirectly. And I thought it was funny that one of the characters that were indirectly linked to it just says, it doesn't matter, he's dead. You know, so I think people are finding things to complain about that aren't necessarily that important.
You know what I also love about the show? Because it's the kind of show where you're like, we need a win, guys. Like, the people you root for have the shit kicked out of them. And when someone you hate dies, it's like, yeah! It's like a sporting event. Finally, somebody! Yeah. So you're happy about that.
This season is difficult. There's a lot of no wins coming up and going on. And
well, yeah, that's what the show's been so far. But it's a really well done show, and I enjoy it.
It's fantastic. Every week, I'm just blown away at the scale and the production design. And it's to have a show like that on television and on HBO is really impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's a great show.
I'm glad that I binge-watched it and caught up, although it kind of sucks that I can't binge-watch this.
Oh, my dad binge-watched it twice. I don't know what it was. He ran out of a show to watch, and I was like, have you ever watched Game of Thrones? He's like, no. I never really recommended it because he's not a fantasy kind of guy. So I gave him my HBO Go login, and he binge-watched the first couple seasons in, like, 2 days. He couldn't stop.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
then he watched
like 12 episodes a season. You can catch up pretty fast.
And then he watched them again. Like, it was cracking me up. He couldn't get enough. And then he kept asking me questions like, well, what happens with this character? What happens with that character? I'm like, Dad.
Heather tries to go to Wikipedia. I want to see what's going to happen. I'm like, don't do that. Come on, let the story play out. You don't want to know what's going to happen.
That's the bad thing about it. And I think that's what the writers, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, are doing, is they're playing with the story so that people that want to go spoil it for themselves, they're changing it slightly.
It's funny because I would Google some things in the first season just because I would wonder. Or even the second season. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Reek.
Hodor?
Reek's real name. The guy who's the guy who was castrated, what's his name?
Oh,
Theon, right?
Yeah, Theon Greyjoy.
Okay, so I typed in Google, who is T, the letter T, torturing Theon? It like finishes for me. Like, who is that? And it's funny because that means a million people have Googled that same question, right?
Right. Oh, they wanted to know the Bolton bastard who's torturing.
Because remember, at first, you have no idea who this dude is and why he's doing it. So I was like, that's it. I got to know who this guy is. So I Googled just like, who is
T?
T, the letter T, and it said torturing Theon Greyjoy.
Ramsay Snow in the show is they're really going there. That's hardcore stuff.
They really, when someone's evil on the show, they're very evil, aren't they?
Very, very evil. And actually worked into the whole hunting with the pack of dogs and all that into this season. It's, they're super evil.
Another show I'm watching, and I don't know if you guys are, but I wish you would, it's Fargo. The series.
I'm going to start. I'll start this weekend because I've heard nothing but good about it.
My brother was telling me about it, and there's an episode recorded, and I need to watch. I don't know how many there's been so far.
It's like four so far. It's a really good show. I like it. I'm into it. Billy Bob Thornton's great on it, of course. It's got Oliver Platt. It's got
I didn't know that. I love Oliver Platt.
Martin Freeman. It's got a great cast. Really does.
Oliver Platt's best role was still Flatliners.
Yep.
Just putting that out there.
He's always good in everything he does. And it's just a good show. And I don't want to spoil anything, but one thing, like, it's not the characters from the movie. It's a completely different set of characters, just so you know that.
But I did see someone say that it overlaps with the movie in the last episode or something.
Well,
is that true?
That's what I didn't want to spoil for anybody, but... Oh. They show you that it's in the same universe as the movie, which is really cool to show that the movie exists and so does this series, and that it's all, they're related in a way.
Right.
But I'm sorry I brought it up, but it's hard not to whenever you go, like, on a website and it goes, Fargo in the same universe! Can you choose a different headline, website?
I know. That's what you and I were going to talk about. Like, from when we did the lunchtime show till now, they put out the picture of Star Wars, the new cast is meaning.
Yeah, right.
And you realize we're going to be bombarded with the most non-informative... minutia Star Wars stories.
And I don't care.
Every week.
Because it'll mean nothing to me.
You know what one of my favorite stories actually was? And I laughed out loud and I just shake my head. Lou Ferrigno on some radio station said Hulk film in the works after Avengers 2. And it's like, how would Lou Ferrigno know? He's on some like Crazy Eddie's like radio show in Detroit or something, and he spits this out, and it's like on the internet and it's everywhere.
I'm going to be on the Avengers tour.
But it's just like it's not news. It's so I hate it.
But that's film blogs. It's just I don't go to any of them anymore. I used to visit like First Showing. Religiously and all that, because I liked watching the trailers, but now I just avoid all film blogs like Slash Film, all that stuff. I can't stand it because it's just regurgitating the same bullshit across the board, so I just don't visit them anymore.
Yeah, I still do, and it drives me crazy. All right, I want to talk about 24. 24 is back, guys. Woohoo! And I thought it was did you watch it, Steven?
Not yet.
Bill, did you watch it?
Oh my god, it's so gloriously stupid.
Well, what I love, I really liked it, but it's so funny how there's always a character who has things figured out. It's this way every season on 24. Wait, perhaps Jack Bauer wants to be captured.
Yeah, I love it.
He wants to be captured, so we bring him here, and he's going to bust someone out. You know what? You just need to
keep
your opinion.
And it just happens to be the eternally freaking stunningly gorgeous... Yvonne Strahovski, and I have no problem watching that. For 12 weeks, her running around going, "I'm smarter than everyone else,"
and yet I'm discounted as someone who's unreliable. You know, it's just, I love, it's almost tongue-in-cheek.
That's what I think is funny when she's, like, trying to tell people what's going on, and it's just like, shut your mouth. Nobody's asking you.
Yeah, I know, it's so great, yet she's smarter than everyone else.
Right. How did you say her name again? Wait.
Yvonne Strahovski?
Okay.
How did you think I said it?
Well, no, that's how you said it. Yvonne, but it's...
Yeah, or Yvonne, or...
Yvonne, yeah.
Yvonne, yeah.
I was just like, wait, what did he say?
You know, Yvonne? Hooverion?
But Jack was there to save Chloe, which I loved. It was awesome.
Chloe's part of Top Dollar's crew.
Yeah, I love that. Michael Wincott, huh?
I was so excited when I saw that. I was like, yes! Michael Wincott. Yes!
I have the scene here where basically Jack, I love that Jack has a guy who's helping him that barely talks. He's just there to spring Jack from the CIA stronghold.
We'll never see him again.
They let Chloe go, and basically it's so Jack can follow her, and this scene happens. Let's check it out.
Nobody move!
Whoa!
Jack!
Put your hands where I can see them.
What are you doing?
So you're Adrian Cross.
What is this? What's going on?
That's my name.
Introduce yourself. Certainly. See enough of your name in the files we take.
Which one of you is Derek Yates? I said, which one of you is Derek Yates?
Yates no longer works with us. He had a clash of styles.
Then you're gonna help me find them.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
I'm afraid you don't have any choice.
We always have a choice, Mr. Bauer. That's what this organization represents. Where I should help you, what would happen to my credibility?
Your credibility.
I am not gonna ask a third time.
Stop! Stop! We will help you! I promise, I will help you. Why are you looking for Yates? I need to know what he's doing, or else I can't begin to find him.
2 weeks ago, I intercepted intel framing an assassination attempt on President Heller, supposed to take place in London here today. The only hard name I could pick out was Derek Yates. I tracked it to this organization, your organization. You want that on your hands, Chloe?
I miss this.
Yates got greedy.
Sink in the background.
Yeah, selling data to the highest bidder, like with some sort of auction house or something. Also, I caught him hacking into military
Jack
weapons
doesn't
systems.
Like WikiLeakers.
Why? I really don't know. I knew it was time for him to go. You don't do that sort of thing. Take direct action like that. You don't just acquire information.
Didn't you like all the geeky hackers there,
nothing
though? I did.
You make it sound like what you do is benign. We both know it isn't.
Do we?
Get started, Chloe. I don't want to be here any longer than I have to.
He's disgusted by those hackers. And I like the guy, basically what the bad guy is doing that he's looking for. He's found a way to hack drones, U.S. drones, Steven.
Oh, how timely.
He can hack them and control them and kill whoever he wants with them and make it look like the guy who was supposed to be piloting it, he's to blame for it.
He framed the guy from Attack the Block.
Yeah, or the guy from Episode 7, right?
Yes, the guy from Episode 7.
So that guy who was in that, he's going to be in Episode 7?
Yep, John Bodega.
Or I'm going to call it right now, Lando's son, Bill.
There you go, Script Shadow.
Josh Calrissian. No, yeah, Storm Shadow. Super
what was
Shadow.
That? Was it Script Shadow?
Super Shadow?
Super Shadow.
Well, everyone's like, okay, look at the way they're sitting in the photograph. She's obviously Han and Leia's daughter, okay?
Yes, because she's sitting between them.
Yeah, so she would obviously be... The guy from the Girls, the guy Adam Driver, he's a Sith. Like, I don't know why they think that. I would think he's a good guy too. He's obviously Han Solo's son, Han and Leia's son, because they're twins, right, Bill?
No, that's John Boyega. He's the adopted son.
No, that's Lando's son.
No, well, he's adopted because Lando's dead.
I didn't get to tell you this, Bill.
Uh-oh.
The reason I'm glad the expanded universe is changed now,
yes,
because I always thought it was complete horseshit that Chewbacca died.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was horseshit that he died.
And
but
now he's not dead anymore because they're dumping that, right? It's
Maybe this takes place before he saves Anakin from the moon crashing into the planet.
No, Chewie will never die.
No, I just think it's
Peter Mayhew.
I don't mind that the EU has been. Yeah, I don't mind that the EU's been rebooted because there's a lot of garbage in there.
Yeah, it could just be alternate universe, right? In the Star Wars,
just like the Star Trek movies.
Yeah, it's alternate timeline type of things.
Yeah,
that. Just thinking about the whole separate new set of expanded universe books on however this new trilogy goes. Is that exciting?
Oh, my God. There's going to be so many.
That's going to be awesome.
I have boxes and boxes of EU books that maybe like I can trade in. Like, oh, this is the old stuff.
This is obsolete.
I need the new stuff.
This is obsolete Star Wars.
This is old Star Wars.
All right. Well, I've got another 24 clip. Jack has intercepted the bad guy, but he got away. But Jack got a little thumb drive from his computer, right, Bill?
Yeah, man, I'm so glad that guy left that behind for him.
And Chloe rescues Jack just in time, and now he gives it to her. Let's see if she can hack this thing. Remember, one of my favorite things about 24 was Chloe Technobab, all right?
Yes, reroute the subsystems.
Yes, let's check this out.
Where'd you get the car?
I stole it. I hotwired it.
Good job.
You're bleeding.
Just grazed me. I'm fine. The eights got away. Here, I got this from the CPU. What is that?
Design schematics. Some kind of multi-channel override system. There's 10 modules.
Cool.
It's drones. You were right, Jack. This system can commandeer up to 10 U.S. drones.
Son of a bitch, they're planning a full-scale attack.
Keep in mind, she's also driving while looking at this.
Okay, good.
Or did Jack start driving?
No, he's driving.
Yates embedded a self-destruct program.
They're driving car. No, Jack, we are driving car.
Well, we saved it.
Couldn't do it. It was erasing my hard drive. All I have is a piece of the schematic.
Her subsystems have been hacked.
Okay, Yates was carrying a hard shell case. The device must be in there. We need to pick up his trail now.
Yeah, he could be anywhere.
Start with the closed circuit TVs from the towers. He was headed south.
Okay, so you're going to be after that guy, but Bill, did you see who the new baddie is? Catelyn Stark from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I did see that. She was in shadows the first hour.
Yeah, that was
then
pretty
they
cool.
They reveal her.
Reveal. I was like, hey, it's Catelyn Stark.
And I loved that the guy's apparent Russian prostitute actually turned on him.
Dude, his death is kind of brutal.
Gruesome? Like, right? Did she stab him in the back of the head or the
she
neck?
She stabs him in the ear.
Oh, yes, the ear. She basically lobotomizes
and
him.
And then they show her twisting it. I was like, that's not necessary. That was brutal, man. The guy's like, they even show the guy going like, aah! Like that. It's like, okay, TV show. I didn't need that. Just stab him and he's dead.
Here. Well, yeah. She's invested.
Yeah. And another thing is, did you see who else is? She used to be Catatonic, Bill, but now she's back.
Oh, what's her name?
Kim.
Kim Raver.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Kim Raver. She's back. And a slimy Tate Donovan.
Oh, man. He always plays a great slime ball.
You know, the one thing that's funny about Yvonne Strahovski's character is that her husband, he was a Chinese spy or something, or sending them information, but she was cleared on it.
They still don't trust her.
Is it going to turn out later that they had a reason not to trust her because she is still a spy?
Absolutely. And then 21. Benjamin Bratt is going to have known it all along.
Damn it! We should have trusted our feelings. But I'm having fun with 24.
It's yeah, there's. Than- I was cracking up at the scene where she bursts into the interrogation room and she starts asking Jack questions. She's like, "I got a reaction."
Yeah, just- and Jack is awkwardly there without his shirt on.
Yes. Oh, and how does Kiefer Sutherland talk like that without needing a lozenge? Well, like, it just.
Well,
he
what's
lowers-
so funny? Most of the show 24, he's barely audible. And
yeah,
then
he
sometime,
whispers.
And then he's yelling. He's like, "Chloe, I need you to get into this and try to hack into that." It's like, what? What did you say? And then he's like, "Drop it!"
Yeah,
he's like
in that
yelling.
Clip, you couldn't hear him over the noise of the car.
He's like,
so
talking.
His voice is all hoarse from the yelling because it's filmed the way it's filmed.
But I like when he, Yvonne Strahovski was on an episode of Louie.
Yes. Oh, my God. That episode tore my heart out.
But she gets punched in the face, Bill. And then on 24, Jack is punched here in the head, too. I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, she gets clocked. Like, Jack just... that made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, he's like, "You're after the wrong guy. The guy you should be after is so-and-so." And she's like... and she's trying to get away. And he's like, "Oh, you know what? Screw it." Just punches her. But I'm glad 24 is back. It's entertaining, Bill. Good stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, she's also in I, Frankenstein, which I happen to watch, and God damn, that's an awful movie.
That looks so bad.
Oh, it's so bad. It's not even like this is bad on purpose bad. This is so freaking self-seriously awful.
Is it? Is it like Underworld bad?
It's worse than Underworld.
Nice.
Like, I mean, it's painful to watch. It's like Manos painful.
And do you feel sad for Aaron Eckhart? Because, you know, he was in character as Frankenstein.
Dude,
on the set the whole time.
I flash back to the interview he gave on the Howard Stern show where he talked about how serious he takes everything and how intense he was and how he stayed in this character and how
I am Victor, like, Frankenstein.
Yeah, and it just, I'm watching it going, dude, you... This is so bad. This is just terrible.
And he got into like insane shape for it too.
Yeah, you have to watch it to believe it, but you're after you're done with it, you're honestly going to want that time back. I can't recommend it other than if you just like want extreme pain.
Yeah, that's when I loved Yvonne Strahovski on Chuck. And I see her taking these roles, and I'm just like, oh, man, God, fire your agent. What are you
paycheck.
Doing?
It's paycheck. Yeah.
I mean, I know she was on Dexter, but I didn't watch Dexter anymore when she was on
here. Oh, God, that was, you know what, that just made me angry, because when I heard she was on Dexter, I got all excited that she was going to be naked. And I know that's terribly pervy, awful, but I am the historian.
Plus, she's not going to be naked, though.
No, she was. It was always this, like, strategically placed things. It was such a tease.
Move that fern out of the way.
Move your arm, Dexter.
Yeah, but I think 24 is good for it. It's you know.
Oh, it's so much fun.
It is.
I'm glad to have it back because we needed a show like this.
I wonder if anybody on the show will show up named Susan. Steven, what do you think?
Possible.
Because
I
want
have
you-
one complaint.
Thank you, Susan.
Come on, say it.
Thank you, Susan.
There you go.
And it has, the complaint has nothing to do with the show. It has everything to do with Hulu. I watched this on Hulu.
So did
and
I.
And I'm watching it on my, downstairs in the historical library, on my new plasma. And Hulu throws up the brightest white logo for whatever your local Fox channel is, to the point where I watched it for about 15 minutes and then had to turn on my screen protection because
oh, wow.
I stopped watching it on the plasma because the burn-in was so bad from this bright white torched logo that said Fox 28.
Oh, wow.
That I ended up running the what do you call it, the screen burn-in protection scrolling all night long.
Damn.
Yeah, I had to because it was stuck there. Yeah. And I'd only watched it for like 15, 20 minutes, but it was so bright white. It had no transparency to it. The moment I saw it, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, so I that's my main, I'm never watching it on Hulu again. Because
yeah,
that's
the reason
bullshit.
I watch it on Hulu is because I was like, wait, 24 is on tonight? And I was like, totally blew it, you know. But I tagged it now. In fact, it's on tonight, and I'm recording it so Heather can watch it.
Oh, it's on Friday nights?
Yeah.
Yeah. They show it on Mondays, and then they rerun it on Friday.
Okay.
All right, Bill, you want to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Woohoo! Let's do the news. Yeah, look at you, buddy. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, in the news this week, directly out of my neck of the woods in Ohio, have you ever done senior pranks? Do you remember senior pranks?
I'd heard about them, but
yeah,
I wasn't social enough to do that.
Yeah, I was never part of the senior prank thing, but in Calcedonia, Ohio, which is about 40 minutes north of me, the senior prank is quite possibly one of the dumbest things I've ever witnessed. The seniors decided to chop down 25 trees.
What?
Yeah, they got a chainsaw and they chopped down these trees on
That's
campus
not funny.
That... That ended up costing the school thousands of dollars. They saw it as an act of vandalism, and all the students that were involved are being charged. So, no charges are filed yet, but the charges were expected to come down today. So
why don't
that's
you
just
make like a tree and get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, normally a senior prank is like plugging up toilets or bathroom sinks.
Taking
or,
a Volkswagen apart and then putting it in the building and putting it back together.
There you go. But yeah, you don't...
chop down trees?
You don't eliminate the landscaping of your school.
Yeah.
A stink bomb is a prank.
Those guys are assholes.
Total assholes.
A little bit nuts.
Yeah, you gotta choose your battles there, kids. You don't destroy property. You make it difficult, but
you don't destroy
it.
Nature.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I've got the greatest idea. Let's cut all the trees down.
Let's cause a forest fire.
Yes, let's destroy everything.
Where were all the trees at? I mean, where did the trees come from? Were they planted around the building? Or
yeah, they were, it was like well-groomed trees all around the building.
Okay. You are a madman.
All right, I just wanted to bring this up because everybody's the shock that's coming around on this is just stupefying to me. There's a program called Snapchat, and that's kind of the trendy thing that kids use now. And the whole thing is that when you take a picture and you send it, or a video and you send it, you can put a time limit on it. So, like, you can take, like, a nude selfie and send it to someone, but they can only see it for 5 seconds. And then it supposedly disappears into the ether. Well, guess what? It doesn't. Shocker. I mean, come on.
Spend a little more time dealing with yourself. That's just
you
an opinion.
You actually believe that anything that has to do with online is like disappearing, it self-destructs like it's a Mission Impossible tape?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. So yeah, genius. Now this, it came out that whenever you send these things that they're actually stored, and that there was a massive data breach in January, and it just, don't take nude pictures of yourself, kids.
I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, and don't think that whenever you take anything and send it online that it doesn't exist anymore. Because
it's
always going to be there.
That was a close one.
Oh, I can't, you know, and I think I remember there's like programs that if you have like an Android phone or even maybe if you have an iPhone that it's like a Snapchat workaround so that you can actually save the photo. Like, right. Just stop. Just stop being idiots, please. You're killing me.
Yeah, and all stop right. using the latest new app also.
Yeah, like, that's...
Hey, everyone's
on you and other people will find out that it doesn't do what they say.
Look at me!
Yeah, look at me.
Even Einstein was wrong a couple times.
That
guy's such a genius.
Just a few. All right. Moving on. There's every musician has a pre-show ritual. You know, group of things, settle the mind, prepare the body for the joys, pressures, and exertion that's ahead. For John Oates, who's been working as a part of Hall & Oates for decades, it's simple. Yeah, I make sure I take a piss, he tells Yahoo. It's called a safety piss. It's the most important thing I do before I play. So, and,
You are a madman!
Yeah! So, you know, some people... Who was it that had the brown M&Ms removed or would only have green M&Ms? There's, you know, that was it Van Halen? Was somebody, but that's...
Yeah,
yeah,
I've always heard all the writers are, yeah, silly.
Yeah, it just, that's one of those things that jumped out at me. And I think John Oates has, he meditates with candles and incense and only play Hindu music. But that's not true. He's joking. They just like to make this stuff up. I think that's almost like a rite of passage with artists is the crazy writers.
Yeah.
Like they want to see how much they can get away with. And then whenever the writer gets out, somebody jumps on it like, oh, these people are assholes.
What?
We have here from Food Beast.
Food
Beast? There's a new donut. You know, I think that the one thing that was big a couple years ago was the breakfast sandwich donut, like the Krispy Kreme egg.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bacon, or there was maybe it was a burger, too. Now it's a Krispy Kreme donut, glazed donut, stuffed with cookie dough, dipped in chocolate.
Anyone need a donut?
Wow. That'll kill you.
Genius.
It's sort of amazing whenever you see this stuff, like, I guess because, you know, post-surgery, I have to think about what I actually eat and what I can actually tolerate. But I see stuff like that, and at one point in time, I would have been like, man, that's awesome. And now it just makes my stomach hurt. Like, I can't even fathom ingesting that.
It sounds gross to me.
Well, some people love that
shit, I'm not fond of eating raw cookie dough, either.
You know what? There was a point in time where I liked it in ice cream because it was frozen.
Right.
I think it was the salty sweetness thing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved this story. I'm sorry, Steven.
I don't mind the cookie dough ice cream. I like that, too.
Yeah, the cookie dough ice cream that Ben & Jerry's makes is, wow, that stuff was good. This story cracked me up. Somebody, you know, on Spotify, I guess the artists make... It's like a half of a cent almost per minute or something. And a band called Wolfpack. Yeah, I know. It's just some indie band from Los Angeles decided on a scheme to fund a series of shows so that they could tour. So they figured, okay, the royalty rate is 0.007 cents. Per stream. So they set up a thing where they created a silent album and they told fans to go on Spotify and play the album as they slept so they would earn $3 in that 8 hours.
That's some change!
While it played. And if so many people did it, they could earn enough to go on tour. And that's exactly what happened. They ended up getting... $20,000 from Spotify before Spotify realized what was going on.
Wow.
So, yeah, so they actually made money off of a silent album so that they could go on tour. And then this week, Spotify made them remove the album, citing a violation of their terms and conditions. But good on these guys for actually coming up with the idea to make money off Spotify.
Couldn't they have had it just be a demo or something? Did it have to be silent?
Well, it was silent so that they could put it on and then...
It would run overnight.
While they slept.
Oh, they could
It was
just...
no music at all. It was just...
No, it was just...
A blank file that ran.
Now, another...
Can you
could
just
have
turn
just
the
not
volume down?
Had, yeah, you couldn't have... Yeah, exactly. But I guess it just didn't make... It wasn't as cool.
Right.
If it would have actually been music.
They were outsmarting the system.
Yes. I'm sure there's some detail in it that I'm missing
it's
or
probably
it's
where
not
they had
the
to,
story.
You have to set it up one song at a time or something, but if you set up that one, it's so long. Or
they could have played like carnival music the whole time.
I'm in the clouds.
Everyone, cotton candy for everyone.
That's my favorite. Some guy just decides to chime in. Hey, what the hell?
I can't resist so joining.
I'm gonna tell him.
This one was shocking to me. I thought we had enough Flintstones.
Flintstones, like, all right.
I honestly, were the Flintstone movies so well done that we needed another reboot?
Yes.
I think.
And Steven's going to love this version of the Flintstones.
What, like the Flintstones?
Because it's the guys that brought us Anchorman.
Oh,
yeah. Will Ferrell and Adam McKay are executive producing the new Flintstones film.
What, like the Flintstones?
Yes, the Flintstones. Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just sort of shocked that this is even happening again, because we had the one with John Goodman and Rick Moranis, and
well,
then didn't they...
I heard it's going to be animated. It's actually a computer animated movie.
Oh, that might be interesting.
Kind of like Peanuts.
But it wasn't that... I mean, I watched the Flintstones.
Yeah, I watched the Flintstones when I was a kid. You know what's funny about a lot of shows like that? Like, I watched the Flintstones. Emma's never seen the Flintstones. She has no idea what it is. In fact, she didn't even grow up on Warner Brothers cartoons, like Bugs Bunny and shit.
Right.
She doesn't know what any of that stuff is.
Did you ever watch the Hanna-Barbera stuff?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that sad?
No, not really, but I mean, that's something she'll discover eventually, maybe.
You can order the 6-disc Warner Brothers set off Amazon. It's on sale.
I mean, I've got to expose her to Bugs Bunny. Come on.
I just bought a crap ton of Hanna-Barbera stuff from the Warner Archives store. I don't know what got into me, but I wanted to own Silverhawks and Pac-Man.
You've got troubles, Mac.
Yeah, I know. And Dragon's Lair, the Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, nice. So,
I mean, they have some really great anime. Oh, and GoBots. They finally released the first 30 episodes of GoBots. Because all they had before was the original miniseries, Challenge of the GoBots. So now they've got the full series. And
I still want my box set of Dungeons and Dragons.
I have that.
Cavalier and Acrobat.
I don't know why I buy them and I never watch them. The only box sets I've bought that I've actually watched have been the G.I. Joe and the Trunk.
No, we did not.
The Matrix of Leadership version of the Transformers, and what else did I? Oh, Mask. Shout Factory released Mask. So those are about the only ones I've actually bought.
Mask!
Yeah.
Well, okay, Bill, trivia question. What was the name of the little robot on Mask?
Oh, shit. It was just in my head and then left.
Come on.
It's not Scooter, because Scooter's the guy from GoBots.
Scooter.
I think it starts... Does it start with a B?
I was not expecting that at all.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah, I can't remember. Damn it.
You got me. I don't remember. I've seen if you knew it.
No, I can't remember. It's
Bebo or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Okay, Max Cartoon Robot.
Mask Scooter. I know he's a scooter because the kid rides on him.
Because the kid could ride him like a motorcycle. Remember that? That shit was tight, yo.
What the hell was that thing's name? I love that show.
Damn it, what the hell was the name of that egg robot?
He looked like a little robot. He was really annoying, too.
Yeah, he was like...
T-Bob!
T-Bob! T-Bob! Oh, my God.
The cowardly robot sidekick of Scott Tracker. That was like the 80s trope, the cowardly sidekick.
Yeah.
You had Orko on He-Man and... Mm-hmm.
Or even Cringer, too.
Cringer, yeah. Yeah, but Cringer turned into Battle Cat.
Yeah, T-Bob. I love that.
That's the worst name ever.
What did he sound like? Do you remember that?
Really irritating.
I want to remember what he sounds like.
Because Mask would do the, Oh, my God.
I'm not getting on that thing.
Come on, I'll treat you.
You know what? He kind of...
looks more like a threat.
He sounded just like the robot in Sewer Shark. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
T-Bob.
Holy crap. It.
Good old T-Bob.
Ah, yes. All right. Let's see here. Esquire did an article where they asked Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse what their worst episode was.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, and I read that.
And I think they actually... I don't know. Was it...
They said this before, actually. They didn't scoop anything in this Esquire interview. They've said it all in other places.
Yeah, but it still made me laugh because it was the episode I think everyone has complained about. Anybody that was a true fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The episode with Jack where they explain his god-awful tattoos that Matthew Fox has.
Yeah.
With Bai Ling.
Bai Ling! She was the guest on there.
I like the pretty lies.
Yes! She was in the episode, and it was like he got this tattoo from her, and she was like some kind of special tattoo artist that
she was a psychic tattoo artist.
Only like natives of their village could have her tattoos.
Yeah.
And it would like broke a law when she tattooed Jack.
Broke a law in general.
But they were talking about just how bad that episode was and they were embarrassed by it.
Well, it's the episode that actually made them think that we have to have an end game.
Yeah, we can't have filler episodes like this anymore. Like, they're just embarrassing themselves.
Means to an end.
And by the way, when they decided that, the seasons got so much tighter, you know?
They did.
They
knew
exactly what they needed
to do. I just always love the way it went. I know a lot of people complain the whole purgatory bullshit, all this. That show, just those final seasons were just perfect in my mind. I love that show.
The episode... The season before the final season was, like, the best season, like, with the flash-forwards and stuff.
Yes.
Shit was awesome. Right, Steven?
Yes.
Yes!
It looks like a big cloud!
The Walking Dead Season 5 has begun filming in Georgia.
Oh, no one's safe, Bill.
No one's safe. That's the last story I'm going to cover because my throat's starting to hurt and we still have DVDs to do.
Son of a bitch!
Oh, no one's safe. Did you see that Japanese commercial that...
Oh, that was great. Just made absolutely zero sense. And then somewhere down at the bottom, there's actually outtakes.
Oh, wow.
Of them shooting it, and just they can't keep straight faces. They
it's
keep
Norman
up.
Reedus and Andrew Lincoln, you know, Daryl and Rick. They're in like kimonos, and he's got a fan, and they're doing it. Is it for Japan or where?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, Walking Dead. You know, they just look so goofy and out of their element. I don't know why they did it, but it's hilarious.
Well, they actually, that was a behind the scenes thing of the actual commercial that they shot. And the commercial makes no sense. It's just them drinking tea. And then there's another video of them shooting it where they keep laughing because they have to do these close-up shots of reactions. And, yeah, it's just – it's very nonsensical. I'm sure it means something in Japan, but it means nothing to me.
A little bit nuts.
You know, and that's news this week.
That kind of reminds me when Jack Bauer did the weird Japanese commercials.
Oh, Calorie Mate.
Calorie Mate. God, it's so long since I've thought of that.
And there's a what were the RoboCop ones? Were they Calorie Mate?
No, it was like chicken.
Oh.
RoboCop selling chicken.
Nice. It's like the Hound. He's going to have every chicken.
Yeah, every last chicken. Bring me two chickens.
Bring me every effing chicken in this room.
Love it. All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news, by the way. Now let's do some. Oh, we haven't had Steven here in so long. We've had TRS-80 singing the song.
I was waiting
to
hear
the lyric sheets because I forgot the lyrics.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding.
No, it's okay, Ruby. All right, let's do some DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs!
Woohoo! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody!
My fan arrived.
Oh my God! Gosh, shut up, Ruby! Why did anyone think that was good? You know what made me think of Ruby Rod is on one of those websites, they have the little articles at the bottom, like Cracked or something. You know, everyone wants to do those type of stories, like, and it was like 20 of the most unintentionally annoying characters, and Ruby Rod was in the picture. I go, I'm pretty sure that was intentional.
Yeah.
How was that unintentional? What do you think, Bill?
I think it might be time for you to go.
I'm sorry. I muted my mic whenever it went to the song. Yes, it was very intentional. I think intentional.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, let's see. You know what? Let's go back a little bit since we haven't been here.
Okay.
Let's go to May 6th. A movie that I just watched recently and forgot how good it was, Memphis Belle, is on Blu-ray now.
Ah, yes, Memphis Belle.
I like that movie.
Are you kidding me, man?
I don't think it is. It would you? No, it's not underrated. But it's just one of those movies that I haven't seen in years, and I was like, "Wow, that's a really well done movie."
Michael Caton Jones. So, what is the urinating scene in this? I think there's a part where a guy is like has his face next to a toilet because he's sick, and he pees right next to his face. Isn't there?
Yeah, I think so.
Because remember a long time ago, I talked about Michael Caton Jones always has urine scenes. Weird pee
yeah,
scenes.
I was wondering where that was coming from.
And like, because in Doc Hollywood with Michael J. Fox, there's a scene where him and the girl start marking territory by peeing everything.
Yes.
And they're running around, they're just peeing everywhere. And that shows them kind of frolicking in the distance, and they show the bushes and pee, like, dripping off of it.
Ew.
I'm like, dude, what the hell? And
ew.
There was another Michael Caton Jones thing. But anyway, it was like I realized this dude likes pee. He's really into it.
I'm never going to be able to forget that. So, I'm going to have to rewatch it just to see where the pee scene is.
Pissed off to the highest pistivity, bro.
Pistivity.
Pissed on for the highest pistivity. Michael Keaton Jones. Man, what a creepy dude. Is there a pee scene? He did Basic Instinct 2? Whatever's peeing in that.
Wow, you know who's in Basic Instinct 2, don't you?
No.
Okay, I'll let you look on IMDb and you're going to be shocked.
Am I going to be shocked?
You will be shocked.
Sharon Stone? Oh my God.
No.
Who? I'm looking down through the list.
Open shock.
David Morrissey.
That's it, the governor.
Holy shit, that is the governor.
What?
Yeah, the governor was in Basic Instinct 2, and...
So is Hugh Dancy.
I'm pretty sure I saw it in the movie theater. I don't know why.
No, you didn't.
I don't know why. I don't know why, but I did. Oh, by the way, I wanted to rant about... you know Fifth Element? Remember there's this part...
You are listening to Radio Cosmos.
Okay, I think it's funny that when you think of the future... All right, shut up, dude. Okay, remember in, like, Serenity, they have to upload this video about the Reavers to everyone?
Yes.
Joss Whedon didn't even think about things like YouTube in existence, where you could just upload a video and everyone could see it everywhere on the internet, but you gotta... do some kind of satellite array where it beams the signal. Do you think in the Fifth Element, in our future now, 50 billion people listen to radio? They would be watching the video, like, on their smartphones. But that doesn't exist in the Fifth Element because they hadn't thought of it. I think it's funny that the idea that everyone listens to some radio show in the future, it's funny.
It has a very 40s kind of vibe to it, kind of a retro chic.
Yeah, they're on this cruise ship. Everyone's listening to a live broadcast of a radio show. It's just really a goofy idea when you think about it.
It's a goofy movie.
Yeah, it is.
Bringing up the Veronica Mars Blu-ray came out.
Oh, maybe we'll finally get it.
Oh, you haven't got it yet?
Yeah, do you remember me telling you they kept sending it? And it would get sent back. And I was like, what the hell? And I was writing the, the customer support. And I realized that the P.O. box was, the last three numbers were switched around. That's why we're not getting it.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So let's cut the crap.
All right. Blazing Saddles 40th Anniversary Blu-ray is out.
All right.
My name is Jim, but most people call me Jim.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Yes.
That movie's genius. That movie. So genius. And, you know, of course, the...
yes, the bean scene.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mongo.
You boys have had enough.
Some more beans, Mr. Taggart?
How about some more beans, Mr. Taggart?
Oh, God, it's genius. And, of course, he says...
I'd say you've had enough.
He's, like, got his hat off, and he's, like, waving it in the air. You've had enough. Oh, man, it's so funny. Candygram for Mongo.
Yeah, and I love... When I found out as a kid that that was George Papadopoulos, it kind of blew my mind.
Yes! I'm so excited.
That's George! Oh, my God!
And Ma'am isn't in it, but...
Oh, Miss Lily! Oh, Miss Lily! I love it.
I have to bring this next one up because people were bitching about it at WonderCon, and that's Son of Batman, the animated... the DC animated film.
Son of Batman.
Yeah, it's got... you know it's a bad sign when Jason O'Mara is the voice of Batman.
Really? That's
yeah.
not... Yeah, I wouldn't picture him at all.
No. But I guess a bunch of people were complaining about the style, and it really does look strange. And I haven't been impressed with DC's track record as of late with the animated features.
Did they just try to kind of do something weird? Is it some kind of other world type of story?
Yeah, it's kind of a League of Shadows thing.
I'm totally Batman.
And I think it has to do with the son that Batman has with Talia.
This is Batman.
So this is like way in the future and he has a son?
Yeah, it's you know, it's alternate timeline, I guess.
Okay.
But I guess it's not very good to begin with. So there was kind of a very tense Q&A session at one of the cons. I think it was WonderCon that was on YouTube. And I was watching it going, man, this is really – like all the people up on the dais are excited about it and they're ready to talk about it. And then the questions start coming in, and it just gets really uncomfortable. And you kind of feel bad for the people that were involved with it.
They could tell things are getting negative.
Yeah, things are really negative here. So, yeah, let's move on for the next question. It's if you want to be uncomfortable, check out the YouTube of that.
Okay.
But I think...
Crime does not pay.
I think that's pretty much... The past release from the last week that I think are worth mentioning. And so we're going to move on to the upcoming releases for May 13th, 2014, starting with the film I mentioned, I, Frankenstein.
All right. Hey, so you made it sound pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, God, this is awful. It looks great. It's, you know, very good video quality. Movie itself, holy shit. Wowie, wow, wow, wow.
What happened?
What a stinker. The movie was awesome. A movie that I really liked next, Her, the Spike Jonze film.
Oh, yes, it is very good.
Very, very good. I'll be picking this up on Blu-ray. Hopefully it has some nice extras. Do you notice lately the extras are kind of lacking on Blu-ray?
A witness said a bioman took her.
Yeah, like, what the hell just happened? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they like, and they've also started splitting them up amongst retailers. The retail exclusives, like Target gets something. I noticed Target gets a lot of the Steelbooks.
Yeah, or Best Buy. No, mostly Target, you're right.
Yeah, Target had the Captain Phillips Steelbook, the Elysium Steelbook. Yeah, it's just, I'm getting really kind of tired of the retailer exclusive stuff. It's almost like they're trying to drive us to digital only. Maybe that's the whole point.
Right, make them get pissed off they have to buy all these versions.
If you don't have Netflix, why not pick up Orange is the New Black, the complete first season on Blu-ray?
Oh, that's cool that they do that. They did that with House of Cards too, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yeah.
Cool.
And you can actually watch House of Cards on like Amazon Prime now.
Wow.
Like, it's very strange.
I predict that one day we will not even own like copies of stuff. It'll all be in the cloud.
It looks like a big cloud.
Look at all those movies up there.
That would honestly suck because I just like owning physical copies of things. Like, the quality, you're not going to get the same quality streaming from the cloud.
No, just give in, Bill. Give in.
Whee! One of us. All in the clouds, everyone. Cotton candy for everyone.
Oh, there's cotton candy, too? All right. So you don't just get a movie, Bill, you get cotton candy.
Just put it down.
A little bit nuts.
You mean you want me to put down my gigantic cotton candy?
Yes, I do. Next Blu-ray is a double feature.
Candy. God damn it!
God damn it! The next Blu-ray is a double feature. A film, both films I think everyone loves across the board. Crocodile Dundee 1 and 2.
Oh, hell yeah! Woohoo! Right, Stephen, why do you seem excited?
Out of the way, Dobie.
No, I like the first one.
Toby!
I did like the first one. I don't remember the second one.
The second one is so freaking strange. Like, he gets involved with, like, a drug cartel or some shit.
Oh, Bushman's
and
then,
and the guy looks like the guy that was the leader of the gangs in the Warriors. For some reason, I always make that connection. But it's like he has to rescue his...
Chase him through the outback.
Yeah, he has to rescue his wife from them in New York, and then they escape to the outback, and he's got to chase her. It's just so messy and stupid. And if you remember, I guess they're forgetting that there was a third Crocodile Dundee in L.A.,
right, yeah.
Like, years later, it was like he had a kid, and it was just him wandering around L.A. It was so bad.
Yeah, they had the little kid, their son, or whatever.
Yeah, it was painful. Yeah, it was really, really, really awful. Next we have...
I have been speared by Mayan warriors.
Oh.
For him.
Who? Dean Cain?
I'm not sure why that played, but go ahead, Bill.
I'm just going down through. Next, we have Eastbound and Down, the complete fourth season on Blu-ray.
Cool.
Is the fourth season the final season?
I think so.
Okay. I never got into the show. I never watched it.
I watched the first two seasons. I thought they were funny and just never
caught
up with the rest of it.
It was a funny show. I liked it. I mean,
I've only watched like two episodes, and the ones I watched had Don Johnson in them.
Yeah, that was his dad.
Okay, that was his dad. why not pick up the complete series of Magic City? I think that was like Star's first attempt at a series with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, yeah. I was interested in that, and then it got canceled before I even got a chance to
Stop looking at me, shit! Stop it!
That's the greatest moment on that show.
Why are you shitting in the prison, Stevie?
They're having a conversation in a jail cell, and then he's just taking a dump right there. Stop looking at me, shit!
Okay, I really do need to watch that show.
At least that one scene. It's so funny.
All right, Webster, we are almost
done. Go back here in Mexican jail.
The dog is looking at me like, hey, dude, are you done yet? Almost done. I promise. Well, I'm going to bring up the Screen Archives Entertainment Twilight Time Blu-ray series again this week.
Oh, buddy's excited.
They are releasing the original 1975 Rollerball.
Oh, geez.
Limited to 3,000 copies.
Oh, I won't be able to get it then.
Yeah. I don't get the attachment to this film because I didn't really like it.
Thought it was kind of. I've never seen
the amount
the original
of people that will buy it.
I think my dad might have had the album of the soundtrack, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah,
have you seen it?
Yeah, I've
Is
I've
it ridiculous? It.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And they felt like remaking it with the kid.
Oh, my God. Chris Klein. John McTiernan directed that, Bill.
Yes, before he ended up in jail. And the only reason I even remember it is because there's like a silhouette of Rebecca Romijn's naked body in it at one point. And everyone was like, ooh.
Hidden deadly hazard.
And finally, the last Blu-ray is The Kicker, another Twilight Time release, a double feature, Thunderbirds or Go and Thunderbird 6. Whee!
All right.
Because who doesn't want the Gerry Anderson marionette films
giant
on
head
Blu-ray?
Puppets?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever get into that?
I watched them and laugh at how awful they were.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I ever thought was neat was just their vehicles, you know, but
the vehicles were cool, but again, like the whole thing with the fake rocket boosters, and it just, it all, you know, the moment on MST3K, anytime they're doing like a Japanese film where they go like toy boat, toy boat, toy boat. Like, that's all I could, anytime I watch them, it just, I can't suspend disbelief.
Nor should you watching those.
I'm impressed that they were able to pull that off, but it just looks so stupid.
So much fun and imagination.
Yeah, I can't mm-hmm. do it. And then the fact that they decided that they needed to make a live action film with Bill Paxton years later kind of.
I want to party with you, cowboy.
Oh yeah, they did they?
Uh-oh. All right. Yes. Okay. Webster says it's time to end the show.
Webster, come on!
No.
What, are you looking for a raise? Get out.
Okay. We're done. That's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill.
Webster
thanks.
Turned off his computer.
Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Woohoo!
I don't want to be here any longer than I have to.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Jesus Christ! I thought it was swing time!
That hurts a little bit.
Yeah, this is painful. All right, everybody, that was episode 290 of Entertainment Ooh. Landfill. How about that, guys?
Only
Remember,
10
we.
10 more to go.
Only 10 more to go, and we're done. Dunzy.
So that'll take 2 years at the rate we're going.
We need
That'll
to start.
Never get old. Even whenever we're at 300, we're still going to say only 10 more to go.
Yeah, but we need to start doing the show every week so we're done quicker. You know?
We do.
All right,
we
300,
do.
We're done. Woo!
Or at least bi-monthly.
Then we'll come back when episode 7 comes out and do a special, Bill.
Ooh, I love specials.
I really liked it. Yay! Woohoo! No, wait, what am I talking about? We're going to go.
Well, at least K-Boss gave us a new drop that we'll use anytime we mention the cloud.
That's true.
Hey, I'm in the clouds, everyone. Candy for everyone.
Oh, I'm
candy
flying.
For everyone.
Dude, Buddy be tripping, yo.
I want Buddy to actually appear on Comedy Bang Bang with Paul F. Tompkins playing Cake Boss.
Me too. That would be awesome. Cake Boss. All right, guys, go to etlandfill.com. You can find links to our archive of fantastic episodes. 290 of them, right, Bill?
They're all excellent. Yes. Now, actually, more than that, if you count the Niminis and
Lunchtime. Lunchtime shows.
Christmas specials.
Yeah, Christmas specials. All sorts of shit. Lots
Book
of stuff
club
to listen
show.
To. If you started episode 1 and just hit play every episode to 290, this one, I wonder how long it would take to play. Like,
well, guess me, what, 3 hours per?
Yeah.
Practically.
Some 4?
That's what I was saying. Just going at a guesstimate of 3, because some were shorter, some were longer.
It'd take a long time. Wouldn't so, it?
There's some
years.
Wow.
A little bit nuts.
All right. If you'd like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com or send us a voicemail at our brand new voicemail number, Bill. 1-206-309-4729 until that expires, by the way. So
yeah, next show it'll be new.
Yeah, every time it, because after 30 days if there's no activity it just cancels.
Well, honestly, it's easier to record the voicemail on your phone and just email it.
Yeah, that's cool that people are doing that, and the quality is excellent.
Oh, yeah, it's much better than the voicemail number.
And so many people can do it. Like, on my phone, I could record my voice talking and attach it in an email and just send it.
Yep.
In fact, I'm going to start just sending voicemails to random podcasts, Bill.
There you go.
Pretty awesome. No, I wouldn't. I don't know how people do it because I can't think of anything to say.
Yeah, I am. I always admire the people that do send voicemail because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I get embarrassed. Or people, when people call in radio shows, be like, "Hey, that's cool."
I was listening to Howard Stern this week, and they're giving a hard time to one of the people that write down everything they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, your thoughts are so important that you need to write them down. Well, yeah, I mean, kind of. You don't want to sound like an idiot.
Yeah, and that's, I would feel like an idiot, you know?
Well, I am an idiot.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for doing the show this week. Steven, it's great to have you back. Tell Webster, I'm sorry, we're wrapping it up. Just
you ready, Webster? You ready to go outside?
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Oh, he just jumped up on top of me. Okay.
All right, guys, that's our show. See you next time. Hope you enjoy it. Ladies, everybody, woo! Ladies, Steven, Lady Bill.
I think it might be time for you to go.
Party with you, cowboy.
No. I told him.
Are you kidding me?
What are the odds?
Some kind of multi-channel override system. There's 10 modules.
What are you looking for, a raise? Get out.